Blog Talk Radio.
Everybody, we're here live tonight. Welcome, everyone. We are here to minister to you first and last. Yeah, beginning and the end. All right, tonight's that night, and so we're going to be ministering to everybody. So get on with us, and let's believe God for whatever you need tonight. Some kind of answer to something, some kind of breakthrough, some kind of anything. Whatever you need from the Lord. Just one word, maybe three words, maybe a whole sentence. Who knows? What can mean something to you when you need it the most. And so we're going to believe God with you tonight for that. Information is everything. Information from God is everything. It's the greatest thing you can have besides God himself. And if information comes from him, then it's the greatest thing ever. There's nothing like it. So that's the place that we're in. We're in that place. And it's a really cool place to be. And we're glad that we are here in it. And there's nothing like it. Never been in a place, never seen anything like it before in my life where God does stuff and keeps us going, keeps us information like food, like when Elijah got the bread from the angel. Remember that? He got the bread from the angel, and the angel made him, baked him a cake. I guess he sat there and watched him. I think it was a manifestation of an angel, and I hadn't thought about that till right now, but that's what happened. He fed him, gave him some bread, and that bread lasted him 40 days. Right. Yeah, we might look that up. I think we're going to look that up. It's still there. Angel. Angel. Okay. Let's look it up. Maybe we're supposed to go there. Who knows? Obviously something. All right. Looking at the cake. Okay. 1 Kings 19, verse 6. Let's go there and see what happens. All right. Interesting. I love this stuff. We'll see what goes on here. He looked around. Okay, let's go to the actual scripture. The actual scripture, 1 Kings 19, verse 6. Let's go here to the NIV version and read what's going on here. Elijah flees to Horeb, and Ahab told Jezebel everything Elijah had done. Now imagine what that conversation was like. Remember when Elijah had called down fire and slew all of her prophets? That's not funny, but it is kind of funny in a way. I mean, that was a bloody mess. That was a bloody mess, that's for sure. And so that bloody mess was pretty bloody. And she was telling him all about it. You know what it's like when somebody shares something with you, especially somebody who doesn't like you anyway, and they say everything that you just did and maybe exaggerate a little bit and how horrible you were, how incompassionate you were. Some of those people were some of her favorite people, and she just loved them, and now he's over there massacring all of them. It was just like, could you imagine that? Could you imagine seeing that where Elijah has got the sword? And that had to be kind of like, I don't know if he had help with that or not. I have to say I haven't really paid that much attention to it. But, the fact that that was going on, and he was slaying, how many prophets was it? 300, 400, 500? How do you slay that many prophets, false prophets, with one person, Elijah? I mean, I don't know. We're going to have to look into that, too. I think I got a feeling. But here it says, it opens up with this. We're going to the cake, the bread that the angel made for Elijah. And now Ahab told Jezebel. No, it wasn't Jezebel. Told Ahab. Ahab told Jezebel everything Elijah had done and how he had killed all the prophets with the sword. There it is. So Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah, and here's Jesse getting involved, right? Yeah, Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah to say, "May the gods deal with me, be it ever so severely, if by this time tomorrow I do not make your life like that of one of them." In other words, dead, chopped up. you know, this is Jezebel getting hot, going after the prophet. It's, you know, I mean, who could make this stuff up? You can't make this stuff up, friend. You cannot make this stuff up. It's just too amazing. Hang on a second. You just can't make this stuff up. I mean, who could make, you know, I can see where people say that's not real because it's just some crazy stuff, right? I mean, that's like, you know, Jezebel sends a message to the prophet who just killed, I think, was it 500 of them? I can't remember how many of them it was, a bunch of them. And Elijah's, you know, takes off. He flees to Horeb. Where do you flee when you feel like your life's being threatened or about to be threatened? You know, you go to the mountain of God, right? Yeah, so there he goes. And so so Elijah was afraid. Look at this. This tells you exactly what Elijah – I think if Elijah could erase this, he might do it. I don't know. But this looks a little shameful for our brother who was a mighty man of God. Elijah was afraid and ran for his life. When he came to Beersheba in Judah, he left his servant there while he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness. He came to a broom bush, whatever that is, sat down under it and prayed that he might die. Anybody ever felt like that, going through a battle? Jezebel's coming after you. Yeah? This kind of tells you how the prophet deals with it. So don't feel too bad. Right? Don't feel too bad if you feel like something's going on here. This is. I don't even know who this is for somebody tonight, I think. I don't know. It's totally spontaneous, honest to God. all right. So he was afraid. And because Jezebel was a pretty powerful person. I mean, she was in control of the government. She was in control of, if they had army back then, I'm not even sure, I'm sure they did. You know, they had military. They had, you know, all those prophets. Well, now they're dead. And Elijah took them out. You know, what a thing that was. And now she's really ticked off. And her husband just told on Elijah. Now she's going to roar and go there. Take care of business, you know. It really was God setting her up. Jezebel, if you'll let God and you'll just do what God says and focus on what God says and don't be afraid, well, at least at first, you know, you can be afraid afterwards, but don't be afraid before. When God tells you to call down fire and build an altar and all that, and you do that, and when all that happens, then, of course, they send Jezebel after you. I've been having this happen to me since the Biden thing. Oh, you wouldn't even believe you. Wouldn't, I'm going to write a book one of these days. You wouldn't believe it. Oh, you would. You would believe it. Yeah, the Jezebel stuff. It's been amazing. It's been one of the hardest, funnest, coolest times of my life, where I'm learning to laugh it off. Anyway, so you know, Elijah's like afraid. He says, "I'm going to take my own life. I've had it, man. I'm wore out. You know, he's going to commit suicide." That's what he says. Any of y'all ever felt like that when Jezebel's a very real thing. It's not just the person that's coming against you. It's the spirit that they're working with. And it's very intimidating and very real. And so some of you, listen to this, some of you are getting to have it, got to experience some of this so that you can be what I'm about to tell you tonight. This is a word for you about how God brought up the truth about Elijah. Elijah was scared to death, man. That's what it says. He's going to kill himself. Oh, my gosh. Elijah? This shouldn't even be in the Bible. I think I'm going to tear this out. Yeah, this is not good for the prophets, Elijah. He's making us look bad. Not really. We love you, Elijah. Look at this, man. He's running off. He's scared. This is real. This is not just – this is telling you – because this is about Elijah, friend, this is telling you how powerful this is when it happens and how when you are experiencing it, you're going to understand when you read this about Elijah, the next time it starts hitting you or trying to hit you, you're going to go to Elijah, verse three, he was completely afraid. Elijah was afraid and ran for his life. My gosh. See, now watch, we got a powerful man of God, full of the Holy Spirit, full of the power of God, not afraid of anything one moment. The next minute, it shows you how when Jezebel comes after you, friend, that we're going to talk about the reality of it right now, it looks like. This is where we're going with it. This is a great man of God. He's just a regular guy. And when Jesse comes after the regular guy and you get into the regular guy part of you, the regular person part of you, it's scary. Because without God, you don't have a chance. I'm going to tell you right now, without God, you don't have a chance. So this is going to give you something tonight. Because at the same time, God was setting her up to go after the man of God, to go after the servant of the Lord who was walking with God and trying to do his will. Some of you can relate to this tonight. God was in the process of setting her up. Elijah wasn't the one that got to see her die. It was Elisha. Elisha, his servant, who got to see her die. But God began to stir the process up and got it activated so that the word Elijah got about taking Jezebel out and the dog licking up her blood, remember all that? What a gross statement. That's like R-rated stuff. So some of you R-rated people that don't like R-rated stuff, you might want to hang up for a minute because we're going to get a little R-rated right here. Maybe a little X-rated in some ways. I don't know. And so he's scared to death. He's afraid. He's going, oh, my God, what's going on here? This is very real for him. You can't just say, oh, Jezebel, I don't mean nothing. You know, I mean, when it's truly a Jezebel spirit, it's something that you have to know. You better stay in the Lord. You might ought to stay in what God is saying, because this thing caused, some of you can relate to this. Some of you, it's caused you to make, you want to end your life. Maybe not physically, but maybe emotionally. Maybe you want to just give up on God. Maybe that's spiritual suicide. I hear the voice of God saying, some of you, just like me at times, you just want to give up on God and what you're doing right now, but you just want to give up on it because it's called spiritual suicide. Betraying the Lord, it's not about betraying the Lord. It's about that spirit of oppression coming from Jezebel and the fear and the dominating spirit that's upon her coming upon Elijah, who was a great man of God, by the way. Right? So we can't just say, oh, it doesn't mean much. Oh, there's nothing to it. Yeah, I think that this is going to share something completely different. All right. He came to a broom brush. A broom brush, whatever that is. You're going to sweep some things. God's going to sweep some things up here, I think, the broom brush. Bush. He sat down under it and prayed that he might die. I've had enough, Lord. He said, take my life. I am no longer better than my ancestors. That's not funny, but it's funny. He's being honest. He's feeling like, man, I'm a coward like them. You know, one minute I'm pulling the fire down, I'm killing all the false prophets, and then I'm off running like a scared little kitty cat or puppy dog. And my tail between my legs. This is very real, y'all. Y'all listen to this? This is to comfort you and give you some imagery in your mind about how God's going to take care of this. I mean, I'm about to tell you. Thus saith the Lord. Yeah. Woo, hallelujah. I am no better than my ancestors. In other words, those doubting, you know, unbelieving Israelites. Yeah, my ancestors. And he lay down under the bush and fell asleep with the whole thing. He fell asleep in the mode of, kill me, I've had enough, I'm a compromiser like my ancestors. This is all the Jezebel spirit working, friend. You think it's just you feeling like that? No, this is the Jezebel spirit working. And at once, an angel touched him. He's trying to get some sleep, man. Angel, why don't you leave him alone? For crying out loud, the boy needs some rest. Oh, no, God didn't look at it like that. He says, all at once, because he didn't want him sleeping too long in that atmosphere. He didn't want him sleeping too long and going to a deep sleep with that suicide thought on his mind. So at once. All at once, an angel touched him and said, get up and eat. You want the answer to your dilemma? You want the answer to it? It may not be what you think. He says, he get up and eat. And he looked around, and there by his head was some bread baked over hot coals, baked over hot coals. The coals were hot. Somebody had to do that. It was an angel. And a jar of water. Where'd that come from? It shows you how comforting God is when you're going through a battle, friend. He's not shaming you. You wimp, you sissy, you can't handle it, you're a baby. No, that's not the way our God does. The devil may do you like that. God's not doing it. He says, hey, I'm going to bring you a jar of water. I'm going to bake you some fresh bread, and he ate and drank and then lay down again. Why did he lay down again after he ate and drank? Because God wanted him to know, hey, I'm with you. I know you fell asleep in suicide mode. I woke you up to let you know I'm with you, I love you, and brought an angel, which I don't think he had as many angelic visitations, as far as I know. An angel came back the second time and touched him and said, get up and eat. Y'all hear that thunder and lightning? Get up and eat. I got background going on on this message tonight. You hear that thunder? I don't know if you hear that or not. Kaboom! Literally, just now, honest to God. Some of you live in Texas, maybe you heard the same thing. I don't know. Yeah. So we're getting some sound effects for this one. So this is really for somebody tonight. The angel of the Lord came back a second time and touched him and said, get up and eat. What's the answer to your thing? Right here, friend. For the journey is too much for you. So he got up and ate and drank. Strengthened by that food, he traveled 40 days and 40 nights until he reached Horeb, the mountain of God. There he went into a cave and spent the night. Hallelujah. See, he wasn't even at Mount Horeb yet. We're going to get the picture of this right. He was on his way to Horeb. He was running. And he came to a broom bush. Going to take a nap, and this thing's real. He's being chased down by devils, being loosed from Jezebel, and God is showing us how real this is, because he's not just doing it with some poor little old person who ain't got much going on. No, he's talking about how this affected Elijah, the great man of God, the one who's going to, who John the Baptist got the spirit of Elijah, who showed up with Jesus, with Moses. You know, that was Elijah, that Elijah. He was running scared. That's just going to show you, I think I'm doing that just to show you just how real this thing is, just how powerful this stuff is, so that you won't condemn yourself. You won't let the enemy go, oh, you know, you're just a weak, you're no good, you know, you can't do anything, you're a sissy, you're a puss. No, Elijah was not that. He was not any of that. The warfare behind this thing is very real. Wow. And what did God do? Number one, the angel, I haven't had time to look at it. It's a spontaneous night, but we're looking at what we get right here. That we see, number one, what God did is he brought an angel. In other words, he needed angelic help. We talked about angels last night. You missed that. You might go back and listen to it if you get a chance. He brought an angel. In other words, the angel wasn't just there cooking. Angels can do all kinds of things. They can cook. Jesus could cook. Remember he cooked fish for Peter and all the disciples? Yeah, the angel cooked for him. And angels can do just about anything. They can do anything. They've been trained how to cook, how to, you know, do warfare, all of it. And so God was showing Elijah. He said, man, I know you're going through it. I know you're fighting a spiritual battle. Therefore, I'm sending you a spiritual friend of mine. Doesn't say the name of the angel. We don't know the name of the angel. At least I don't. And it says here that what is that telling Elijah? What's God trying to say to Elijah? This is a real battle. You know, any other time you could just fight your way through it because I know you're strong. But this one, this is special. This is different. You've entered into a new zone of doing warfare. When you called down fire, that broke, oh, that shook up the heavens. That shook up the devil. That shook up all the demons. That shook up all the fallen angels. And Jezebel is working with them, and she's coming after you. Because you didn't just call down fire and have a barbecue. You called down fire and reversed everything and brought shame to everything she's been doing for a number of years, her and Ahab. You just brought shame to all that. You think you're going to just get by with that? Well, not according to this. And Elijah was a tough dude. He said, I've had enough. He said, take my life. I'm better than I'm not better than my ancestors. He was just like, you know, thinking, I'm just like them. I thought I was a great man of God. Now I'm just like those rebellious, weak ancestors of mine, the Israelites, who complained and whined. Oh God, forgive me. Yeah, I'm no better than them. And what a low state to be in, if you knew what he's talking about here. But then he lay down under a bush and fell asleep. What happens? God brings an angel. The angel wakes him up. God is waking him up, saying, hey, I'm with you, man. This is real. I sent an angel. Here he is. He's cooking you up. He's serving you. He's helping you. Thank you for your job. Thank you for serving me. Thank you for all you do for me, Elijah. That's what he was saying. That's what God was saying to Elijah. I thank you for what you were doing. Thank you for calling down fire. Thank you for standing up. Thank you for killing those false prophets. Thank you for cleansing Israel. Thank you for the work you're doing for the kingdom of God. Thank you. And I got this angel coming to wait on you. What a reward. Oh, my God, what a reward. Dear Jesus, thank you, God Almighty. This is awesome. Hallelujah. And the angel touched him and said, get up. He's talking to him, right? Looked around, and he knew it was an angel because it's in her hair. And, you know, he saw it was an angel. And he looked around, and there by his head was some fresh baked bread over hot coals in a jar of water. He ate and drank, and then he laid down again, and he was wore out. You ever go through a lot of warfare? It wears you out. What does God do? He bakes you some revelation. He bakes some hot, fresh revelation. Like tonight, this is hot and fresh, y'all. I don't know if you understand how hot and fresh this is. This is cooked on hot coals. The coals just got warmed up before I got home. But I was going a whole different direction tonight. I was going to talk about Moses tonight. Yeah, because I got some hot revelation about him today. Whoa. What about us? You and me and people. But God's trying to intervene tonight. He's doing this for somebody tonight. He knows you're going through it. He wants to comfort you. He wants to let you know that this is real. And he's not going, oh, you stupid child. It is a, yeah, you really are like your ancestor. You really are like those ancestors of yours, those doubting, unbelieving bunch of heathen, you know, those Baptists, those diehard Baptists, bunch of creeps over there, don't believe God on anything. All they all do is get everybody saved. They don't care about the power. They don't care about that. Yeah. That's not funny. But it's funny to me because I can really relate to that. But God says, I care about you. Yeah, this is real. I'm with you, man. I brought an angel. He's going to do some warfare for you. He's going to cook you up a cake that lasted him 40 days. That must have been some holy, holy food. You know what? Holy food is what you need, friend. That's how you fight this battle. Because the enemy wants you to commit spiritual suicide. He wants you to just quit, jump out, get out. Yeah, that's Jezebel messing with you. That's witchcraft messing with you. That's demons messing with you to target you, to get you doing something that you're going to look back. And so what did God do? He shows up and he says, man, I'm coming to comfort you tonight because I know you're feeling like quitting. You feel like jumping out. You feel like getting out. You want me to kill you? You want to die? And I'm going to show you I'm with you. I love you. You're in the right place at the right time. And the enemy doesn't like it. And he's trying to take you out. Yeah, I'm hearing your prayers. Woo, my loco bahale chekwa. Wow. Now watch this. He went to the cave and spent the night. Kind of got up out of that self-pity thing, which was very real. He wasn't condemning him. He was saying, come on. The angel didn't say, hey, you self-pity little baby doll, wake up. No, he just said, get up. Elijah, God loves you. He sent me. I'm here. I'm here to take care of you. I'm here to help you. Carry your burden. It's okay. You're not alone. I'm with you. I'm for you. Right? He gets up, goes to the mountain, Horeb, and went to the cave and spent the night. And the word of the Lord came to him saying, what are you doing here? Elijah, or whatever your name is, all right? He replied, I have been very zealous. I have been very busy doing everything you tell me to do, Lord. The Israelites have rejected your covenant, tore down your altars, and put your prophets to death with the sword. I am the only one left, and now they are trying to kill me too. He still wasn't quite over that little wound he got, that pity party, whatever you want to call it. I don't know if I want to call it a pity party because I think it was very real. The Lord said, go out look how God handled this. He didn't say, yeah, no, you just like your ancestors. Yeah, I'm going to have mercy on you anyway, you little sorry sucker, you little compromiser. Hey, God doesn't say any of that. You gotta hear how God talks. That's condemnation talk to you like that. Here's the Lord said. He said, they're trying to kill me too. I'm the only one. The Lord said, go out, stand on the mountain in the presence of the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by. Woo-ha. Hallelujah. Isn't this awesome? The Lord is about to pass. How does he solve it? He feeds him, gets him some food for 40 days, lasting 40 days, supernatural food in the natural, supernatural, natural, anointed, you might say, revelation from heaven. And then he takes the next step for Elijah because he knows he's in a warfare. He wants to know. He's trying to teach Elijah something. He says, go stand on the mountain in the presence of the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by. In other words, you're about to see God pass by. He's like going, yeah, in a great and powerful wind, tore the mountains apart and shattered the rocks before the Lord. Whoa, sometimes we want God to be like that, right? I know I do. But the Lord was not in the wind. But why did the Lord tell him to go out there? Because he's trying to show him something. He's trying to bring Elijah into a whole other fellowship with him, a whole other realm. And this is where what Elijah needed at this time, or God wouldn't be doing this, right? You know God was telling him this because he really needed this. Great powerful wind tore through the rocks and the mountains and shook the mountain, but the Lord was not in the wind. After the wind, there was an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake came a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire came a gentle whisper. When Elijah heard it, he pulled his cloak over his face and went out and stood at the mouth of the cave. Then a voice told him, what are you doing here, Elijah? And he replied, I've been very zealous for you, God. The Israelites have rejected your covenant, tore down your altars, put your prophets to death with the sword. I'm the only one left, and now they're trying to kill me. And the Lord said to him, go back the way you came, and go to the desert of Damascus. And when you get there, anoint Hazael, king of Aram. Also anoint Jehu, son of Nimshi, over Israel, king over Israel, and anoint Elisha. Elisha was actually one that actually was used to take care of Jezebel. And anoint Elisha, son of Shaphat, and Abel, Meholah, to succeed you as prophet. Wow. Right, Jehu will put to death any who escape the sword. Jehu, who's the new king he's going to anoint, will put to death any who escape the sword of Hazael. And Elisha will put to death any who escape the sword of Jehu. Yet I reserve 7,000 in Israel, all whose knees have not bowed to the Baal and whose mouths have not kissed him. And then he calls Elisha. All right. All right, Elijah went to and found Elisha, son of Shaphat, and he was plowing with 12 oxen, and he himself was driving the 12 pair. Elijah went up to him and threw his cloak around him. Elisha then left his oxen and ran after Elijah. Let me kiss my father and mother goodbye, he said, and then I will come with you. Go back, Elijah, replied, what have I done to you? Yeah. The anointing just fell on me. What have I done to you? And Elisha left him and went back, took his yoke of oxen, slaughtered them, burned the plowing equipment. In other words, he buried his past to cook the meat and gave it to the people, and they ate. And then he set out to follow Elijah and became his servant. All right. So all that was going on. Hallelujah. God is speaking to somebody tonight. Get ready. Do not let the enemy take you out before you are to receive that tangible anointing of the prophet of God as a prophet, to do the work of God as a prophet. Sometimes, just like Elijah, you know Elijah was, having a hard day. He was already the prophet, but he was trying to get him, the enemy was trying to get him to kill himself because he was going to raise up the next prophet. Even though Elisha and Elijah walked together for quite a while, that was what was happening, and the enemy was trying to stop it. Through that Jezebel spirit, we're trying to stop him from being like Elijah said. If you're with me when I go up, my mantle will come on you, double mantle, and then of course end up being a double mantle. And what was Jezebel trying to do? Trying to stop that. Trying to move. Trying to fix it. Well, that didn't happen because that's the thing that took her out. Yeah. So I don't know about all that spiritually, what that means exactly, but friend, there's something about that tonight. I don't even know what I'm talking about, but God does. So get ready. Get ready, get ready, get ready. Don't listen to Jezebel. Don't listen to that oppressive spirit that wants you to get you to feel sorry for yourself. I know. I've talked about this about myself before, and it's really amazing how that, things can just happen. They happen quick. But God's trying to say to you tonight, this warfare is very real. So don't condemn yourself, but don't yield to it either. Let God encourage you with fresh meat, with fresh bread from heaven, fresh revelation. Amen. All right, let's take callers tonight. We're going to take callers and see what's going on. My first caller tonight is 325. All right, let's go here. Hopefully that meant something to somebody tonight. I know a lot of people that could fit with, I think, but I don't know who exactly. So just there you go. Just take it, eat it, share it with whoever you think might it might do them some good. All right, 325, you're first, 754. You are second. Okay, Sharon had to call back in. Thank you, Sharon. All right, 972, you'll be third. 863, 268, you'll be fourth. 405, 540, 912, next, 240, let's see, is it, we got 402, 402, you'll be after 912, 402, you'll be after that, okay? That's Sharon, I think, she got knocked off. All right, don't let the devil knock you off. Don't let him knock you out. You just raise your voice and shout, hallelujah, Jesus. Yeah, I'm singing here as I'm trying to write down these numbers here. Trying to sing over somebody. God's trying to touch somebody tonight. I don't know what's going on. Amen. Because I wish I could say I'm not going through that, but I've been through it during the hours and days of the election and all the stuff went on then. I went through a lot of this stuff. So it wasn't exactly fun, but I'm grateful. I learned a lot. I learned a whole lot. All right, I got all the numbers down. And if I didn't give you a number, okay, 402, you'll be there, 240 after that, 202 after that, 803 after that, 903 after that, 610 after that, and then that's it for right now. All right, let's take our callers tonight, 325-280. I'm going to talk to you real quick, please.
Chris from Texas.
Hey, Chris. All right. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, I just thank you, Lord, for the joy of the Lord. I feel victory, man. I don't know. I just feel victory. When I heard your voice, I feel victory. I feel like God is, like, breathing into your spirit, the breath. He's breathing fresh breath into you, fresh word, fresh revelation, fresh knowledge to strengthen you. And to because what the enemy tries to do to all of us, Chris, he tries to distract us with all this stuff and then discourage us, you know, try to get us down and to get us to, you know, want to, you know, do whatever. And, you know, so it's like I see when I sort of heard your voice, I saw strength going into your spirit. I felt God, you know, like, you know, giving you a special touch and, you know, just showing you that, you know, the enemy sometimes just tries to get us to give up. He tries to get us to stop. He tries to get us to, you know, yes, there's times we need to take a break. There's times we need to relax, you know, and not work so hard to take our Sabbath. You know, if you're not taking your Sabbath, sometimes God will make it to where you have to take a Sabbath. Some people get sick, not because they are sickly, but because they're not taking their time, not taking the Sabbath. And God will say, okay, you don't take the Sabbath. I'm trying to get you to rest, you know, one day a week, sometimes just one day, whatever day that is, find a day and rest on that day. And don't do anything else. Relax. Yeah. If you don't do that, then, you know, you're going to find yourself getting wore out,
That's what really what was going on with Elijah. Elijah was getting wore out. And so when you get wore out and you get into warfare, that's the enemy's favorite way of attacking you, is getting you tired. And that's why God says for us to take the Sabbath, you know, rest. We got to find a day of rest. We're made for that. We're made to have to rest. God made us like that. So if we don't do it, it's like, you know, not putting oil in your car. It's causing you to not function properly. And so I think I see God strengthening you. I see God visiting you, filling you up, giving you courage. Because when you start entering into to new things, just like Elijah entered through new things through when he called down fire, that whole thing. Like I kind of did with the election thing. The election thing brought me to a whole other place. I mean, I was going under warfare. The stuff that's hitting my mind, it was crazy. And so I made sure I rested. I do all the things I know to do and did pretty good. And if you're doing those things, even though you're still struggling, you still go through battles, you don't succumb to, you know, the pressure. You have the pressure, you feel the pressure, but you don't succumb to the pressure because you're doing what, you know to do that God's calling you to do. Stay in his word every day, pray every day, you know, take your Sabbath, take a rest, take a break. And then when the enemy comes to attack you, you feel it. Yeah, it's painful, but you don't yield to it. And the problem with Elijah was, in this particular story, is that he began to yield to it. I mean, he was really – it shows a real battle he was going through. It's very, very real. Very, very, very real. And we can't just sit there and go, oh, it ain't nothing. No, it's something. It's very real. That's what I think God's saying tonight more than anything, is that this warfare we go through is very real. And it's out to destroy you. It's out to stop you from your future. Elisha was the future after Elijah. Elijah wasn't some, you know, disobedient little heathen, you know, hiding behind closed doors sinning while he was, you know, trying to be a minister. No, he was truly sincere. And God's trying to say, this thing is real. And we need to do what we know daily to do. Daily things are the things that keep us going. But daily things are also the things that mess us up. Right. I say in the word daily, I do good. Saying the things that God's told me to do daily, I do good. Like I eat just right daily. I do just enough to feed my brain, feed my body what it needs, the proteins, the thing, all those little things, believe it or not, they make a big difference. Why do you think God had the angel fix him a cake? Because it had in it the nutrients that he needed. Oh, it's just all spiritual, Brother Chandler. Don't you know we just need manna from heaven? Yeah, of course we want manna from heaven. But, you know, the angels didn't cook him some manna from heaven. It might have had some anointing in it, all right, but it was food, physical food, right, that he probably went out in some field somewhere and got fresh corn and fresh meal. I don't know where he got it. And it was because his physical body needed, every part of us needs to obey God. And so God knew it, so he fed him physically some good energy food and some food to feed his brain. And he was probably tired, so it had probably a little bit of pizzazz, anointing in it, you know. Kind of like, oh, yeah, start thinking clearly, you know. And so he did. He thought, so I see God really doing it with you. And for your future, it's about your future, because the enemy tries to take us down, try to discourage us for our future. Amen. And that's not going to happen with you, bro. Hallelujah. You're going to be strengthened by the Lord. Let's go here, 754-240. I'm going to talk to you real quickly. All right, 754-240, are you there?
Hey, man, this is Donald and Tanya from Miami.
Hey, man, you're not supposed to be sleeping. Your wife's supposed to be taking a break. You haven't done anything. I mean, she's done all the work. She's done all the work.
I'm not sleeping.
Okay, I'm just kidding. Yeah, I'm messing with you. I had to say something, you know. Tell her I said that. So she'll think really good.
Well,
really good.
She's listening. She says she agree.
Okay. Hallelujah, my sister. Amen. All right. I'm messing with you. I love you guys. You know that. All right. Thank you, Jesus. I'm glad you had it on so she could hear that. It really was real. Like we weren't. Yeah. Yeah. She had to even go back and listen to it. She knows that's what I said exactly. Yeah. She did all the work. She had the baby, in case you knew people are only like, what are you talking about? They just had a beautiful baby, Alonzo, precious, precious baby doll. And, you know, of course, you know, women don't think we do anything. But, you know, honestly, if you're still listening to this, we do. We worry about you. We worry about, is it going to be healthy? We think of, well, we have all kinds of things we go through. And watching you in pain, sometimes we'd rather be in pain ourselves. Maybe not that kind of pain, but pain. We'd rather be in pain ourselves than watch you guys be in pain. And it hurts us to watch you hurt. Even though we know, there you go. Now I just took it for him. So I balanced out the scales, right? Yeah, I did. Yeah. So, you know what? He was probably rubbing her salve on her stitches or something, you know, probably when I said that. I'm not sleeping. I'm putting stuff on her stitches, man. What are you talking about? So I'm really messing up tonight. Yeah. All right. Anyway, that's all good. But thank you, Jesus, for my brother, Lord. I thank you for the strengthening of their spirit, God, that you strengthen their physical bodies, God, all that stuff they went through with going through having a baby and the process beforehand for the 9 months and the last 3 months and then the last few weeks is like, oh, my God, you know, all that stuff is just wear and tear, man. And it's kind of like that's what's going on, you know. It's like this is a sign of the future because when you're birthing something new, when God is birthing something new, you guys are representing what God is birthing something new. And so it's really amazing because, you know, the stress that we go through, you know, the anguish of, you know, when's this thing going to come? My wife, she's like, she's miserable. She needs to be, you know, and that's sort of all the process so that we'll want to get, you know, let's get delivered of this thing. Let's see this thing. So all that stuff you go through, it drains you. And that's what Elijah went through. Elijah was birthing something new. You guys, he was birthing something new. He was bringing into something. He was calling down fire. He was Israel, which we can talk about this with the body of Christ and many different forms. One of them in merchandising, my favorite one, my favorite, most disgusting one is merchandising that the body of Christ has been doing. It's like, and plus a lot more we could talk about, you know, God was opening up something new. He was bringing in a new crew. He was bringing in a new crew. And there were 7,000 prophets that hadn't bowed the knee, as God told Elijah later when he said, I'm the only one. But that whole thing was just wear and tear. I mean, it really wore him out. It put him in a, he was sleepy. He was, you know, when you get sleepy and you're really tired, so you're just giving birth to something, and even the process of months before it, and weeks before it, and the day after, and then after that, and then in between, and healing up, and all the stuff, and getting used to a new child, and now you got three, you know, and then thinking about the future, and thinking about, you know, how it's going to be taken care of, and giving all that tends to, like, you know, wear you out. And so, you know, I see God strengthening you, and that it's okay to rest. It's okay to know that some of the battles you go through from physical tiredness and from emotional tiredness, it's all very real, and that we need God to strengthen us in those areas. So to say, God, you know, I feel weak right now, it's not like a weak thing. It's like a real thing. You know, Elijah felt weak. It wasn't because he was a coward or wimp or wasn't a man of God, or had sin on the side. No, he was very raw and right and righteous and a good godly man. And yet the battle he went through. So this is just kind of a type and shadow. What you guys went through, just having that sweet baby doll, that new thing, that new boy, that new man child that came forth, of what it's like to birth something, and all the drama and all the things and all the, you know, the special moments and the hard moments and the emotional stuff, all the stuff you go through. This is what it's like when we birth something in the spirit realm. Same type of thing. And I know I've been going through that, through the birthing of the new era that we've entered into, 1134. You know, all this whole thing and the transition I felt going on inside of me. This is all you guys are experiencing. You've experienced that. You're part of that. And this child and everything you went through is part of what it's like, except you saw it in a physical sense. So as you look back at that, you're going to be able to compare with a parable, like when you teach people what it's like to have spiritual, birthing spiritual things, you'll be able to go like a parable, say, yeah, well, me and Donald, when we went through this, or, you know, my wife and I, when we went through this, you know, pregnancy, and you share it from the man's perspective, because a man does have feelings. A man does have, you know, feel things and have struggle and battle and all that. Women have a whole different set of battle and struggle to go through, and be able to make a parable of it in the sense of, yes, we once knew somebody named Donald, and your name is Donald. And he and his wife, Tanya, and Tanya's your wife, and he had a wife named Tanya, and they got pregnant, and they went through all this stuff, and all this, and then the struggle and the battle, and all that, and finally got birth, and the stuff we went through, and be able to explain people, and so is it when you're giving birth in the kingdom of God. The beauty, the glory, when it finally comes forth, when the child finally comes forth, it's just a bloody mess. It is. It's a bloody, and they got it cleaned up these days, but it's a bloody mess. But it is glorious and beautiful, and what a beautiful picture of God doing something. Sometimes, friend, it's just a bloody mess. Yeah, it's just something from deep within you is coming out. And when it comes out with blood and water and afterlife. They call it afterbirth, actually. The whole thing. Yeah. So I don't know if you guys are laughing or crying right now. I'm not sure. I'd like to check in and see, but I'm afraid to ask. But this is what God's doing. And so as you dwell on this, you think about it, it's going to give you parables or teaching or revelation understanding of what it's like when somebody's going through a battle and carrying a child. You know, a woman can give that, but also when you're with somebody that's carrying a vision, carrying a purpose in their life, and they're pregnant with it, the things you go through with them, and we need to give people understanding of that so they can go, I'm not carnal then because I felt like this. I'm not stupid because I feel like this and I have all these thoughts. No, it's very real. It's part of the emotional realm that comes with it. All right. Praise God. All right, 972-695, who am I talking with from, please?
Hey, Randy, it's Terrence and Tanisha from Texas.
Hey, y'all. Thank you for doing the show the other night. I appreciate it.
You're welcome.
Yeah, welcome. All right, thank you so much. All right. Yeah, I was for that night, or at least part of it, and this was the last minute, too. I didn't give, like, 2 or 3 hours. I wasn't even sure I would. I thought I was going to try to do the show, but then I just, do the whole show. But I just felt like, then I couldn't get anybody because I waited till the last minute, and then Tanisha popped up and said, hey, I can do it. So thank you, Tanisha. I appreciate that. Other people were busy doing stuff. They would have done it too. But Tanisha was able to do it, work out where I could take care of Julie. She had really sprung her ankle pretty bad. And, I just feel like I need to wait on her. Take care of her. So thank you for that. Thank you for that. And your service to God. 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 Whoa. Your service. You feel that? Your service to God. Makale uche. Asha akare maho bande. Hallelujah. I don't know. I'm going to go back. The whole night may be this Elijah thing. I don't even know. But I'm going to go back to this. And it's like, we all go through battles. And I know you guys, you've had your own stuff. We all have our own stuff. Everybody has stuff. We can, everybody goes through some kind of spiritual battle over, trying to buy a house to, Donald and Tanya talked about, their house buying experience. You heard them talk about that. The battles that we've all gone through in different ways through, situations and stuff that's going on. And so that's very real, and it's very, very sometimes very difficult, and the pain we go through with all that. Trying to stand for what's right, trying to believe for what's right, and we serve God, and we serve God, and we serve, and we serve, and we serve, and we serve, and all we do is serve and serve and serve. Well, that's what Elijah was doing. Elijah was just like, he just wanted what was right, Tanisha. He wanted God's will. He wanted God to have His way. He was tired. He was sick and tired of Jezebel. Woo, I feel the anointing on this. He was sick and tired of that woman. He said, and her lazy, no good husband. I guess he was lazy, no good. I don't know, but just worked. I mean, it's like a big, nasty, dirty, filthy bunch of manipulated, demonic, son. And Elijah just had it up to here. And at the same time, listen to this. Girl, it wasn't just Elijah that was had it up to here with that. It was God who said, and I've had it up to here too. Right? That's what Elijah, when you're a prophet of God or a prophet of God or a servant of God, when you're serving God and you're feeling God and you want what's right with God, that's God in you wanting what God wants. That's God in you wanting that. And so when you get fed up with something, it's like sometimes it's God saying, I'm fed up with it too, man. Yeah, that fed up that you feel is the fed up that I feel, and I'm getting ready to deal with it. And it was a little bit longer process than he wanted, because you'd think that he would have went in there and while he was slaying all the false prophets, he would have found her, took her out, got Ahab, took him out, and anointed Jehu right then. You would think that would be the best way, the quickest way, because God was fed up with her too. But what happened? God did it a little bit different way. But he did it. And he did it. He went through the process. And so here Elijah is all his wanting God's will. And God, you know, I'll lay my life down for you. And, you know, I'll call down fire from heaven. And we'll challenge the false prophets. And we'll do all this stuff. And we're willing to, you know, if we have to go to court and do this, we have to stand before the judges. And I'm willing to do whatever you want, God. And by the time all of it, the process got through and he slew he never gets to slay Jezebel. That was going to be somebody else, but he slew 500 of slew them all. And he got through. He was tired. When he fell asleep, he wouldn't fell asleep because he was lazy. He fell asleep because he was plumb wore out. And what did God do when he got plumb wore out, wore himself out doing God's work, sir? He shows up, and this is what I heard this tonight when I was. And I'm going to connect this to you, because as soon as I heard your voice tonight, I heard the Lord say, your service to him. And God was saying when the angel showed up and cooked him some bread, man, I want to weep over this. This is like weeping cup. And showed up, and the angel woke him up. Said, come on, Elisha. I know it's rough. I know it's hard. I know you're fed up with Jezebel. We are too. God sent me to say, I'm with you, I'm for you, we're going to make it, it's going to get taken care of, and I'm going to bless you, and it's going to be good, and you're fixing to enter into a whole new phase of your life. It's going to be amazing. I'm going to bring you a servant, you're going to train him, you're going to have some other things going on, there's going to be a lot of things going on. And he says, one of the main reasons I'm here, for you to comfort you in a supernatural manifestation way to an angel, is because I want you to know, I appreciate your service for me. I appreciate your service for me, saith the Lord. That's why I sent the angels, saith the Lord. Elijah, I was saying, hey, Elijah, man, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you, Phoenicia. The Lord says, thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Take that cake, angel of God, for you. For your servant in Jesus' name. Just in thanks, just to strengthen, just to comfort, just to say I'm with you. You know, I know you didn't get it. You didn't get Jezebel yet. You didn't get Ahab yet. That's coming. That's coming. And the fact that you've been fed up with it, and I've been fed up with it too, saith the Lord, means that we're dealing with it. And you've activated the process of taking the Jezebel down. Think about that. Not just a Jezebel. The Jezebel. Yeah. Oh my God, I hear a booty crap. Que hola, pachele. Shikura para. My God. Thank you, thank you, thank you, the Lord says. That's what he's telling Elijah. Man, Elijah, I wanted you to know, I really appreciate you. I'm bringing an angel. He's going to take care of you. You don't have anybody to take care of you. He's going to take care of you. He's going to cook for you. He'll even clean up a mess for you. Yeah, make up your bed for you. He'll take care of you. Yeah. Hallelujah. Amen. Fill her with the Holy Ghost, Jesus. Show her how great you're showing her tonight how, yeah, your service to me, your service to me, your service to me, your service to me, saith the Lord, to the Lord God. Not to a man, not to a ministry, not to a people, not to a country, not to a nation, not to a church, not to a city, to me. Your service is to me, saith the Lord. Yeah, and I thank you for your service. It's what Elijah said later. It's Phoenicia. He says, Lord says, what are you doing, man? He replied, I have been very zealous for the Lord God Almighty. And they have been rejected. They've rejected your covenant, tore down your altars, and put your prophets to death with the sword. And I'm the only one left. I don't know if you've ever felt like that or not, but I have. Yeah. Yeah. It's all real. It's real. It's not carnal Elijah. It's the real battle we go through. And we need to be real about it. Hallelujah. And it's good. It's okay. And it's wonderful. Amen. And God's feeling the same way. He's letting you know. He's letting Elijah know. I'm with you in this, man. You think I'm going to leave you alone? Oh, there, you know, like you're going through a battle and a struggle? He said, this isn't just self-pity. It doesn't really do very little with self-pity. It has to do with the battle. It has to do with the struggle. It's not called self-pity. It's called the struggle. It's called the battle. It's called wearing, being wore out and needing strength. But what did God do? He didn't say, oh, don't worry. I'm going to kill her myself, man. I'll get Elisha to kill her for you. It's all going to happen. He didn't tell her. He just said, I'm going to strengthen you. I'm going to comfort you, let you know that I'm with you. That's the main thing God did. And then he showed him the still small voice of the Lord. Hallelujah. Sheko Banaha Chakwa. Yeah. All right. Terrence. Thank you, Jesus, for Terrence. Lord. I don't know if you might not have got a chance to listen to the word last night about, if you get a chance, Terrence, if you get a chance to do that, I know you're busy, but if you can go in there and look at, okay. Let's see what Tanisha said before I do this. Jezebel has really shown herself and been acting up the last few weeks. I didn't know that. Let it out in the person it has been using on Friday. And just today I told Terrence how tired I am of that spirit. Oh, wow. Oh, I called it out. I'm sorry. I called it out. Gotcha. I called it out. Whoa. This is amazing. You see, God is my witness, y'all. I had a whole message about Moses and some things that were new to me. I was coming on tonight to talk about that. God is my witness, right? You believe me, right? You better believe me because I'm telling you the truth. I said, and God knew somebody needed to hear this tonight. And it came. It was totally spontaneous. And I heard the word about what it was about Elijah, you know, I wanted to go check out and make sure that that's right. And we just went from there, literally. So I guess God's just saying, it's like, I feel like, I always told God I wanted to be like an angel. I did. I told God that. I don't want to be an angel, but I always said I want to be like one because you know what angels do? They help people with what God wants to help them with. They hear from God, and they go do what God wants them to do with people. And I used to tell God years and years ago, and my friends will tell you this, the truth. I said, God, so tonight, I think what I'm saying is tonight, God, you know, I'm not an angel at all, but I think God used me like he did the angel, maybe with you tonight, bringing you bread, cooking some fresh, hot, cold bread, because that's just about as fresh as you can get, came right as I'm getting on the show. Yeah, and listen to what she says about this. She says, I called it out. And just I called it out, the person, and it has been using on Friday, and just today I told Terrence how tired I am of that spirit, and we prayed for that spirit to go down. Whoa, she says, this whole message was for me, and I'm so grateful. I'm so encouraged. Oh, hallelujah. That's amazing. That's amazing, Tanisha. I'm telling you, girl, I thought about you when I was doing this, but I know some other people doing some stuff too, and I wasn't sure what, you know, I didn't know exactly. But I, you know, hopefully if you were listening to this, that that you might relate to it, you know, because I know you guys have dealt with that stuff. But I didn't have a clue that all that was going on. And your prayer today with Terrence, Terrence didn't tell me. No, he didn't text me and tell me. Right? You know, yeah, I didn't know any of this stuff. None of this, all this was fresh right now stuff, as you know. Yeah, that is mind-boggling. I called it out, she says. Woo! Oh my God! Thank you, Jesus. All right. So now that you've let that out, how beautiful is that? It's amazing. And now God is watching over his baby dolls, you know, all of his children, his sweet baby dolls. That's what I call them. I call everything baby doll when it's to God. Even call my cat baby doll, so whatever, you know. Anyway, so, you know, so Terrence, and Terrence, if he gets a chance to listen to this, maybe he can go back and listen to last night, too. I don't know if he can or not, but I highly recommend it because being a music person, as you are, Terrence, I think that part of the strategy that you and Tanisha, God will give you was, is, you know, how that Lucifer, you know, Lucifer was not, Lucifer is sounds like a bad name to us, but Lucifer was really the God name that he had, that Lucifer had before he fell, when he was a good guy. And so, so we think of Lucifer as a bad guy, but he was really was the good guy at the time. And God did things through music that could not be done any other way. And with, remember, and I use the example of one of the examples is that when David would play the harp and the demon would leave, right? So there's something going on here tonight because even before Tanisha sent me that text, I was fixing to give you this word. And then she sent me the text, so I stopped. Give you this word about the music and going back to last night's message and listen to that because your calling to music, your calling to worship will be very effective in breaking this thing off because it, the word God gave me was that when God created the heavens and the earth and everything in it, he didn't just do it by saying, thou shalt come forth with the, you know, the grass and the trees and the fish and the sun and the moon and the light. He didn't just do it. He had music going. It was, he created Lucifer with all of his sound pipes, with all of his beautiful voice, all the different ways he could manifest sound. And creation was done with that background music. And sometimes Lucifer leading the way with God's, you know, giving him the words. You know, because he is created by God in God's image with God's likeness, with God, and God's voice was in him. And so sometimes Lucifer would sing part of the creation into existence, you know, with God and him work together. They work together. Man, I've never seen that before. Not with music. I knew God. I just thought God always kind of, let there be light. Let there be the earth. Let there be man and woman. You know, I just kind of pictured it like him just doing it. But no. Oh, my God. God showed me last night, yesterday, whatever it was, yesterday. Day before, a couple days ago. Anyway, start showing that stuff and downloading that. I go, oh, my God. It's just amazing. And so, so when God created everything, he did it all through music. That's why we love music, because we were created, our skin, our flesh, our body, even our soul, and our spirit. When God said, let there be Terrence, let there be Tanisha, let there be Randy, let there be whoever it is, when he created us, you know, it was done through music. Not everybody has a music gift. It doesn't mean it's not about having a music gift. It means that we're created through music. Everything was created with the sounds of music. That's why God created Lucifer. Oh my God! You get a chance, bro. Listen to last night. And I'm not a very good teacher, but I'm a revelator, and I just started touching on things, and then other people piped in. Other people piped in last night and brought some great scriptures. How the mountain sings and the trees sing, clap their hands, and when you start thinking about that, because they were made from music, out of music. Music is in them. Music is in the very, every sand of the seashore. It has music in it because it was created with music. The physical sand was literally has music in it because it was created through music by God. Wow. So what I hear the Lord saying tonight with this thing, with Jezebel and all this whole situation that you guys are dealing with is the music. So now we look at this, you take the creative part of how God created everything, and everything you look at really in warfare is done with music and through musicians and with the prophets. Prophet, what stirs up a prophet? The psalmist. You want to get a prophet stirred up? Get a psalmist. Why? Because that's the way God made it, man. Wow. Hallelujah. Open up the windows. Lights, camera. I remember last week, I first thing I heard when I promised that over you, I hope you heard it, was lights, camera, action. I don't even know what that meant. So I think that lights, camera, action thing has to do with maybe several things, but it has to do with this. Like, get that lights, camera, action. Get into action with this, the music, with the worship, with the warfare, with the and creating and prophesying through music. And the sounds of music, and because that's just the way it works. That's the way God's made it to work. That's the way God created everything in the very beginning. And everything responds to music. Everything responds to it because why? Because God made it like that. Y'all, I've never heard anybody talk about that. I looked up and tried to see if anybody ever said that. And if anybody can find anybody that ever said that, I would love to see what they say, because I'm sure they probably said it better than I did. Amazing. I'm not talking about, you know, I'm talking about, did anybody ever literally say God created the heavens and the earth with Lucifer and the backup band? That's what I'm talking about. Yeah, I've never seen that or heard anybody talk about that ever. No. It was news to me, and it shocked me. And I got a feeling that God's about to start loosening this and bringing this all together. Yeah, with the music and the warfare and victory, and victory, victory, victory. Hallelujah. All right, let's go to the next caller. Thank you, guys. All right, 863-25-268.
Hey, Randy.
Mm-hmm.
It's Nikki from Florida.
Hey, Nick. All right, good to have you. All right, hallelujah. I'm telling you, y'all, I'm like stirred up. Yeah, Sharon says, I've never heard that before. I've never heard of it. I've never heard anybody say it. Never heard it. You know, I can't even, it never says anywhere, because I've been looking, that it says that God did it like that. But when you look at all the evidence of the way things are created, and there's several people that have gone to heaven and seen, you know, somebody said last night, and several people have gone to heaven, and they said that the flowers sing, that everything sings. It's music. I mean, when I heard that, I'm going, yeah, that makes sense, because, you know, there you go. It's really cool. Satan doesn't hate music. He hates God music. He uses music to spread hate. He uses music to create rebellion. He's still creating. See, well, if you go back and listen to last night's message and listen to it real quick, because I said a whole lot of things that God gave it to me by the grace of God, and so you have to listen to the whole thing and hear why Satan rose up and said and rebelled against God. It wasn't just because he had great musical abilities; it was much more than that, because he was helping God create everything, and he said, "Oh, I can do that," because he was so involved in it. You see, that's what created arrogance and pomp, that pride. It wasn't just about him having great singing skills, musical beautiful. It's the fact that him and God created all this together, except, you know, of course, God was the main man all the way around. But he used Lucifer to music, because music is powerful. So music's in everything, whether we realize it or not. All right, we have, right, he's trying to destroy with bad music. All right. Yes, that's what he's trying to do. He tries to destroy with, he tries to bring rebellion, cause people to be in rebellion. I know drugs and rock and roll, man. I was in it. I was on drugs. I love the music, Led Zeppelin, you know, all those people back in those days, when the 70s, 71, 72, we did all that stuff and did, music was what got you places, man. All right, let's go here. All right, Nikki, I haven't forgot you, Nick. Woo! Hallelujah! Tonight, my God, tonight, the fight. Tonight, the fight. But here's the thing, Nick. It's about the good fight, and people get us, you know, like CNN and Fox. And just as an example, they get people stirred up to want to fight. And everybody says, "Oh, you don't want to fight? You don't want to fight? Oh yeah, I'm a fighter all the way." But we got to do the right fight. We got to have a good fight, not a bad fight. We don't just fight to fight. We fight right, right? We fight right. And so if we fight wrong, we lose. Even if we win, we lose. We lose with God. We may win with man. We may outtalk somebody. We may do whatever, outwisdom, out, you know, our mouth may be better than their mouth. But in all truth, in Jesus' name, we lose. So when you fight the good fight, it's like God's showing you how to fight the good fight. Fight the good fight for your children, for your family, for your purpose, for your life. That's one of the things you've been going through. I know you've told me some. That you've been fighting the fight for your life and all that. So what is that all about? What's the training about all that for? You saying this training, Brother Chandler? Yeah, it's pretty rough training, but some training. And the training has to do with, you know, God showing you how to fight the good fight. You know, because we fight all kinds of ways. I do. We'll get scriptures and we'll just put up. we'll be slinging scriptures around everywhere. My God, I know the word of God, and I just like slamming the devil around. We get through, and nothing happens. God, all that stuff, and nothing happens. I felt such an anointing. I felt this, I felt that, and felt that. Nothing. Things didn't go in. But most of the time, it's just a bunch of good scripture with a little bit of feeling good about it. But you know, so the good fight is not just about using good scripture. It's about using the scripture that God provides. It's the arrows that God provides. Like when I took that giant down in my dream, which I had no chance of in the natural, no way. All of a sudden, I mean, I'm going down. He's reaching in there to grab me, and I'd have been like, you know, a little squirrel in his hand. That's how big he was. Just little, you know, his knee was two foot taller than my head, and I'm 6 foot. A foot or two taller than my head, and I'm 6 foot tall. So his knee was about 7 to 8 foot tall. And so I had no chance, right? And then all of a sudden, what happened? I had a rock appear in my hand out of nowhere. What is that significant of? What's the interpretation of that? That God put that rock in there. It could have been any kind of rock, as long as it's a rock from God. Not just a rock, but not any rock. I can't say any rock, but you know what I'm saying, a specific rock. That rock was kind of like a little jagged edge, little frisbee, the size of maybe my hand. Yeah, and I threw that rock. It had a special shape to it. It wasn't smooth. It was jagged around the edges, but it looked like a little frisbee, a thick frisbee. And I slung it at the giant, and that rock took him down. Not just any rock. So what was the good fight? The good fight was that particular rock. It wasn't a smooth stone like David did. He had some cool stuff. I got these jagged rock little things. You know, that's what shows up in my head. But it was also like a saw, like a saw blade, sort of, in a sense, jagged edge, you know. So when it hit him, it probably cut his leg off. I don't know. I never saw that happen to him, but that's kind of what went on. And so, you know, so it's about fighting the good fight. That's what God's saying. Fight the good fight. Tell Charles this too. This is for Charles too. Fighting the good fight. It's not just giving your wonderful opinions. Not Charles giving his wonderful opinions about whatever. It has nothing. Opinions, fun to kick back and forth on those. You wish you'd done with them, really. But it's fun. I give them myself. But true, what true good fight is, to win the fight, to fight the good fight, is the word of the Lord. And so even though you know that already in your intellectual mind, you know, God's reminding you, because everything is about the good fight. When you fight the good fight, like when I threw, when that rock appeared in my hand, which meant God gave it to me, I didn't pick it out. I didn't go, oh, there's a nice rock. No, it just appeared in my hand. I mean, it wasn't there before. And all of a sudden, when he was coming after me and fixing, you know, looking down, he was looking down, you know, to grab me because he could see me hiding there. That rock appeared in my hand just like that, out of nowhere. What is that? It's a word from God. Hallelujah. Not the word of God, a word from God. Hallelujah. Wow. Oh, man, that sucker was down, baby. Down. It was over. I never actually saw him go down. I never actually saw any damage, but I knew that that was it because all of a sudden I ended up in the cave, in a bigger cave in a different area. So I went in, I was able to make it into the hiding place of the Lord when they couldn't come get me, I guess, something, and then all of a sudden they were gone. So y'all are going to see that going through. All right, 912-338. You want to talk to me, friend, please?
Paulette, Georgia.
Oh, hi, Paulette. All right, Paulette, get heavy. All right, Paulette, get a heavy, Paulette. Thank you, Jesus, for the word of the Lord. I thank you, God. You're showing Paulette. You're bringing her, you know, to this place of the word of the Lord, where the word of the Lord comes into her mouth. You know, it may not seem like much, but Paulette, the Lord's saying that sometimes we think that the word of the Lord has to be some long bunch of scripture, and we have to pray it for hours and hours. But the Lord says, I'm going to show you how to quit. Take one little word from God, one little stone, one little rock, one little word from God, and one little quick prayer. And take more devils down, take more things down of the enemy than you would if you spent hours in prayer. So it's not about how many hours you spend in prayer. It's about praying the precise, precision word. It could be one word. The word could be Jesus. It could be you're going down. It could be anything. And when the Lord says say that, just say that. Don't add to it. Don't take away from it. God says, sure, you have to do a quick prayer with a quick victory with the word of the Lord. with the word of the Lord, with the word of the Lord. It doesn't have to be long hours of prayer. I used to think that it did. You know, I'm glad I spent long hours of prayer years ago. But it's not about how long do you pray, Brother Chandler? You don't pray 8 hours anymore? Oh, you must be backslidden. You know, something's wrong with you. You must not be holy before God. You know, but the thing is, all those years of prayer, they brought me to a place where, you know, it don't take me long. It don't take me long. All those long years of prayer were good. Well, they taught me how to make a short prayer, a quick prayer, a powerful prayer, a word for the Lord. Boom, gone. Boom, gone. One little stone from David. Boom, one little short prayer. One little sling of the slingshot. Swing of the slingshot. Swing of the slingshot with the rock. Accuracy. It wasn't about how many. David didn't have to have a bunch of big rocks because the guy had some big armor. No, he took one little word from God, little three-second prayer. Boom, gone. Didn't have to pellet him and no, just one little short, small, little bitty word, little bitty scripture. It wasn't even five words long. One little bitty thing that's like, but because it was the Lord, he went precise right to the head of the enemy and took the head of the enemy down. In Jesus' name, hallelujah, hallelujah. My Lord and my God, that's what he wants you to focus on. Maybe you already do. I don't know. But he's teaching me how to focus on that. We get so holy. Oh, yeah, my God, I spend so many hours in prayer. You know, the thing about it is now these days, I think, oh, it took you that long? Oh, you must just be getting it. It took you that long, huh? Get your breakthrough. Well, thank God. We got it. But I know people that pray in 3 seconds, it's gone. 3 seconds, it's done. 3 seconds, God says, okay, gotcha. High five, over, done, out, bye. See you later. Go take a break, relax. Yeah. That's it, man. I'm kidding. I mean, I'm not kidding. All right, 202-722, who am I talking to me from, please? All right, 202-722, hello? 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 All right, 202-722. All right, that's Nicole in there, that is. Nicole from D.C. God bless you, Nicole. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Divine appointments. Divine appointments. Thank you, Jesus, for divine appointments. A divine appointment, Nicole, and I know you already know about this somewhat, but God's saying the divine appointments are better than having a bunch of appointments with powerful people, with the right people, so to speak, that we think, and they're not divine appointments. One divine appointment with some poor person standing on the street can be better than kings and prophets, right? Can be better than the greatest leaders in the world. One little visitation, divine visitation from a weak little nobody, nothing, and all of a sudden you got your answer from God, or you got something that you need, whatever the thing is. You came across what you need to come across. And you gave it to God because of that divine appointment, that one divine appointment. Yeah, you see the pattern here tonight. Everybody sees the pattern of what's going on tonight. There's sometimes patterns to meetings. There's patterns, things, and we learn to yield to the pattern that God has, and we realize it doesn't take a bunch of hard sweating, labor, it's painful giving. Oh my! But before she was in pain, she gave birth. Before she went into labor, she gave birth. Wow. Oh, in other words, divine appointment saves a lot of labor. Saves a lot of labor. Shows you the favor of the Lord. Saves you a lot of time. Yeah. One divine appointment is better than meeting with all the wise people of the world. Amen. One divine appointment in Jesus' name. Open it up, God. Hallelujah. All right. 803-991. Can I talk to your phone, please?
Serena Angela, South Carolina.
Oh, hey, Angela. All right. Angela. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Angela, South Carolina. Boy, she got a good word. I think it was last night about the debt thing. Whoa. I thought about that today, Angela. It was you, right? For sure it was. Yeah, it's like, oh, my gosh. When probably went to the woman and says, you know, what do you got in your house? It's kind of like, what do you got? Yeah, see, what do I have in my house? I have a lot of things in my house. You know, what do you mean? What do you got in your house? So, you know, yeah, a little pot of wool. And he says, well, okay, that'll work. Go to your neighbors. And she's some spontaneous prophetic information. God's trying to bring you, he's trying to show you that the spontaneous revelation from heaven, spontaneous moment. And we need to seek God for the spontaneous word, from the words that come out of the mouth of God. Because one word out of the mouth of God does everything. One word out of the mouth of God, a spontaneous moment where God says, you know, hey, this is it. This is what I want you to do. But there's times, you know, Angela, that I have been, you know, I'm sitting here struggling, going through things, and I'm asking God about stuff, and out of my own mouth, when I prophesy to other people, and sometimes just, you know, doing other things, the word comes out of my mouth, and I hear the answer come out of my own mouth without me even realizing that I'm doing it. So God's really trying to open you up to that place of that prophetic, spontaneous work where sometimes you're going to come out of your mouth. The hard thing is to believe that it's just that simple. It's like, it's that simple? I thought I was supposed to struggle really hard and, like earlier, groan and pray and have a lot of pain, and then we burst something. Yeah. No, God is saying that spontaneous, that he's opening up that spontaneous, just all of a sudden you feel like saying something. You don't even know why you want to say it. You say it, and that person standing in front of you in line, you say a word. You know, I don't know if you've been, I've been in lines at Walmart and wherever, grocery store, and I just say one word. I feel like saying one word, and I just kind of, I don't shout it out. I don't shake and vibrate when I say it. I just say that one word. Person turns around and goes, huh? What? You know why it got their attention? Because that word was on their mind. And I said it. They go like, that is, you know, turn and look at me like, you know, I didn't say it loud. I said it quiet. Turn and look at me like, what the heck? Who are you? Some angel or something? What are you? Yeah, exactly. And so even that way with tongues sometimes, you know, when I'm praying, I'm a tongue prayer. I like to pray in the Holy Spirit. You know, and so sometimes I'll be going along, you know, and driving down the road or going somewhere, and all of a sudden I'll hear a little tongue come up out of me. I don't shout it or cry it out or everybody can hear it, so he's quite, kind of quiet, or like I'm just talking to somebody. And, you know, quietly, he's like, you know, sopre cupala, soque popala. And I went, wow, what was that? What was that? Like, I got to figure out what it is, you know, the Lord says that. So I realized, sometimes that word, even though I don't understand what it is, the angels understand that around me, the demons understand that around me. It's like, I don't know what it was just said, but whatever it was, had something to do with what I was there for. And sometimes I'll meet people. I'll be able to find stuff that I couldn't find. All of a sudden my eyes will be open to it. As much as even that, God is interested in our shopping. I've had him open up my eyes to things like, things I'm trying to find or shopping for. Can all of a sudden my eyes get open to it? Yeah, through a tongue. Believe it or not, God cares about everything. He cares about all of it. I had a friend, a prophet friend of mine, and this is God is my witness. I'll tell you the truth. This person would come back from the store, and just say, you know, Randy, I really don't know. I said, do you need this? And hand me this thing. And I look in the bag, and I'm going, oh my God. And I said, well, yeah. How did you know I needed this? He said, well, God told me to get it for you. I'm going, wow. It wasn't just a shopping anointing. It was a word of the Lord, right? And through something like that, just God is interested in all those things, all that stuff. It's like he was cooking Elisha a bread there, fresh bread, and letting him know, I'm with you. You know, he was interested in his food. He wasn't just saying, you need to straighten up, boy. I'm going to whoop you if you don't straighten up, you self-pity little man. You got a little whiny mouth. What's wrong with you? No, he didn't do any of that. He said, man, I understand. This is rough. You're in warfare. It's happening. I'm going to cook you a little cake. How about that? And you'd think that wouldn't mean that much, but it meant a lot to Elijah. It's like, it meant that God was taking care of him. Yeah, I meant that God was loving on him. It meant that God was for him. You didn't have to worry about Jezebel. He's going to say, I'm going to take care of you. Yeah. All right. Awesome. All right. 903-808. Who am I talking to you from, please?
Hi, this is Jamie in Texas.
All right, Jeannie, the cowgirl with horses. The cowgirl with horses. Jeannie just keeps sending me these these. It's like my new real estate lady. I love it. It's like, you know, God gave me, you know, it's like Jeannie is my angel real estate lady these days, you know, because I don't really have a real estate person, but never signed a contract with anybody, never have. And I could talk to them, and then they show me. So she sends me all these things, and I just love it because she kind of knows what I want. And so I'm like going, that's cool. So in that sense, Jeannie, you're like God's angel. You got to spine the land up for me. I think I talked about that a couple weeks ago. But so there's something about that. And so everything God has you building, everything he has you doing, he's really going to open you up to this and show you that what he has you doing, he has you doing it. And when if he came back tomorrow and he calls me up first, of course, he says, hey, Randy, this is Jesus. Hi, Jesus. Where are you at? I'm in Jerusalem. I say, do you know where Jeannie's at right now? And hang on a second, I'll text her. And he says, why don't you give me your text number? Okay, here's your text number. Anyway. So Jeannie says, where's Jeannie at? I said, well, she's over there. And so I tell him where you are. So he shows up at your house, your new land. And he walks up to you, and he goes, looks around, doesn't say a lot. You're kind of like going, you're kind of nervous, like, okay, Randy Chandler, how dare you tell Jesus where I'm at? I could have at least spruced up the land a little bit and fluffed the flowers and, you know, made it really good, water some stuff before he showed up. But no, he just shows up and, yeah, well, you know, that's the last time I help you with property, for sure, telling Jesus where I'm at without telling me he's coming. Yeah, but he walks up to you and you're there and he looks around and you're thinking, oh, God, you know, I wish I'd have, you know, covered up that hay bale over there. It's not quite fresh. What's that, Jesus? Jeannie says, what's that, Jesus? Jesus goes, man, this is exactly what I dreamed about you. This is exactly what I have dreamed for you. This is it. And you're looking at him going, you mean really? You mean I didn't make a mistake? This isn't just something I thought of? And the Lord goes, no. You are in the flow, girl. Good job. See you in the millennium, if not in between then. All right? This is going into the millennium. So that whole mentality of, you know, I think you're the one who texted me one night or whatever and asked that question, like, what if, you know, Jesus was coming back next week? Wouldn't we want to make sure we're doing this and that and the other? And you were asking, you know, maybe not only for yourself but other people, but that's a big question people have. Don't we need to stop what we're doing and get ready for the Lord? Well, and my answer was, if you're already doing what God says, you know, probably 90% of the stuff you shouldn't have to do anything with. Maybe 10%, something like that. I'm not saying everything. You know, spruce up a little bit. Maybe, you know, Jesus is coming to visit you, you know, get a little chance to clean up, you know, and that way you won't be calling me after Jesus leaves and goes, Chandler, I can't believe you did that to me. Man, I could have at least dusted off some of the stuff. You know, but Jesus doesn't care about that, right? He's looking at the land. He's looking at the property. He's looking at, you know, the dwelling place, the habitation. Oh, here's the word, girl. Habitation. Woo. Wow. That just came popping up out of my spirit. My God. Whoa. Habitation. Oh, my God. Girl. I've just been doing a study on angels the last couple of days, and habitation is like when it says that, and you can look this up yourself, look up the word habitation and, you know, angels and that kind of thing, and Satan, and it says in heaven when God cast him out of heaven, you know, Michael did, cast Satan out of heaven, he said out of his habitation. He had a habitation. What's a habitation? A habitation is like a dwelling place, right? So habitation can be for angels, can be for demons, can be, you know, habitation is a place like an altar, and God dwells there, and God is a place that God. So it's like, I just want to say to you the word habitation over your property. I want to say the word habitation, habitation. Wow, girl, I mean, you can't get it no better than that. That, my God, that's amazing. The habitation, because the habitation was a place that the angels built, like a city, like you know, a dwelling place, like a mansion, like, you know, a dwelling, a habitation. Yeah. And like all that stuff I came up with about Jesus calling me up, Matthew, where you are and all that. He's coming to visit you on your land and he wants to see it, you know. And sure enough, that was what he said he wanted. It's like, so the whole, that whole thing I kind of went through. And then, and getting the word habitation, like the Lord, if the Lord would have said to you, he said, yeah, this, that other place you had wasn't the habitation. Wasn't the habitation place for you and me. This is the habitation place. Habitation. Yeah. Now, like when Moses built the tabernacle, and it was a moving tabernacle, but it was a habitation for God, a dwelling place. Hallelujah! Shokopanahe. Yeah. I could go on and on and on, but I'm going to move on here. All right, 610-969. You want to talk to the person?
Shalom, Prophet Randy. It's Lisa from Pennsylvania.
Oh, hey, Lisa. All right, Lisa, good to have you tonight. All right, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. You know, I'm going from Jeannie's habitation word, right? And of course, I right away, I'm, you know, you're next, of course, in line. And the whole habitation thing. And habitation has to do with a place we build in the spirit. You know, it can be a natural property, like when we're looking at the property we're looking for right now. I don't know where it is. I can't seem to find anything that I like. When I found that building there in that area, if it had property around it, I would have sold everything I had to get it. Because I loved the building. But it had no property, and there was a lot of traffic, a lot of noise, a lot of crazy, which might have been fixed maybe with the things that we do with microphones and all that, how they pick up every little noise. It just would have been a real pain. And so because of that, I could never sign the contract on it. Plus, it had no property. And the Lord said, I want you to have property, 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 property. So the property that we find, when we find it, and when it's God, then that it's going to become like a habitation. So we're going to build buildings. We're going to build a thing, you know, all kinds of things, studios, radio, internet, all kinds of things going on. And maybe even having a bank on there. You know, of a new system bank, the Christian system bank. I mean, so like a little town or something. It's going to be like a habitation, because when God's into something and he starts doing something, you know, he doesn't just do it just for now. And then when Christ comes back, he tears up everything. Now, he ain't going to tear up anything that's his. He ain't going to burn up anything that's his, because it's his habitation. It's one of the habitations where angels come and visit. When Jacob laid his head on the rock, in a sense, that was a habitation place. That was a place where a building was going to be built, where things were going to happen in the spirit realm. Because why? Because it was a habitation of God. So finding that habitation. But it's not just natural property. It is a spiritual thing that we do. Everything we do in the spirit is building a habitation, building a dwelling place. You know, and so we do that in the spirit. And then eventually it happens in the natural too. So it can happen in the spirit, happen in the natural. Building that habitat for God to dwell in by praying in the Spirit, by praying in tongues. But the Bible says, he who prays, let's see, I think it's in Jude, it says, praying in the Spirit, building yourself up in your most holy faith. I think that's Jude. I think that's Jude. Hey, Jude. Yeah, I think it's Jude. It says, building yourself up in your most holy faith. Building yourself up. You're building something. There's something being built, a habitation. And when a habitation is built in the Spirit by God, it cannot be torn down by anybody. Right? We're going to tear down habitations of the devil, where they can no longer habitat or have dwelling places, where they have to roam around looking for something because they don't have any place. Right? We tear up habitations of the enemy and build habitations for God, because that's what destroys their ability to have a resting place, to have a stronghold. We tear those things down in Christ, like, you know, we talked, I think, last night, where, you know, Gideon was every time an altar was torn down in the town, they went, yeah, we knew that was, that, you know, Gideon boy. Yeah, that boy, Gideon. Yeah, it did, yeah, yeah. We knew he did that. Why? Because God was using him to tear down habitations for demons and build a habitation for God, right? So this whole thing about habitat for habitation, buildings for God, building the spirit, building the natural even, whatever the buildings we do, whatever we do of God's going to be eternal. To go forever and ever and ever, you know, however long we're on the earth. 1,000-year reign after that, and when the heavenly Jerusalem comes down, you know, the whole thing. It's all going to work together. So thank you, Lord, for giving Lisa that mentality, also showing her that stuff and using it. All right. All right, 847-505, can we talk to your friend, please?
Hi, this is Marja from Illinois.
Oh, hi, Marja. All right, Marja, good to have you. All right, 847, Marja. All right, Marja. Hallelujah. Yes, Marja. Okay. All right, Marja. You know, this whole thing about lifting up the Lord on high, lifting up the Lord on high. And I see you like, you know, it's hard to say, how do you lift the Lord? God's heavy. You can't lift God. That's not what it's talking about. But in a sense, you know, when you lift God up, when you lift him up on high, when you praise him, when you give him glory, Marja, when you give him the glory, when you get that heaviness, that kabod, that glory of God, begins to rest on you, and I see you entering into a place of praise, into a place of worship, into that place of lifting up God. And when you lift him up, he comes down. God always, you know, drawn out of God, and he will draw out of you, girl. You know what I'm saying? When you draw out of God, he draws out of you. So this whole thing is about God waiting for us to draw out of him. He saves us, and then he waits for us to call on him. God, when are you going to come down and visit? Like Adam and Eve, when are you going to come down and visit, God? We want to talk to you. We need you. You know, and that drawing thing of drawing God in so that the will of God can be done, so that things are not difficult, things are easy. My yoke is easy, my burden is light. Why? Because the glory of God is doing it for you. The glory of God, the heavy kabod, the weightiness of God. There's nothing the heaviness of God will smash any, demonic stronghold that's trying to hold you back. But the heaviness of God, the weight of God cannot. Nothing can stand under that. Jesus said when he comes, that he will, some people will fall upon him and be broken, and others he will crush. That he will fall upon and crush them. So the heaviness of, I don't know, I just keep seeing this, right, with you, the glory of God, the kabod of God, the heaviness of God, the glory that's able to come in and the things that need to fall upon him, the people that need to fall upon the Lord and be broken before him, and be, you know, changed, or that, and the things that need to be crushed, that he will sit upon, that he will fall upon, and the heaviness of God will break it apart and destroy the things that are trying to destroy you. And so the whole key to all that is the strategy of praise and worship and drawing God in. How do you draw God in? And God wants you to ask him, maybe you've already done this, God, how do I draw you in? How do I draw nigh to you? I know one or two ways or three or four ways, but give me all the ways that draw you in. Amen. And I see you drawing God in, him coming into your midst, into the garden of your life, and saying, hi, Marja, and talking with you and your relationship with God, being that beautiful friendship thing where he's God, but he's still your friend. He's God, but he likes to talk, likes to visit, likes to, you know, God made us because he wanted to visit with us. He likes to feel us and touch us, and because he created us. He made us for that. And he made us for fellowship with him, and he loves the fellowship. And then I see that whole realm of the glory of God drawing him in, drawing him nigh, in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Cool. All right, 402. You know what? Sherry, I forgot all about you. I got going there. 402-214, are you there?
Yeah, hi, Randy. Sharon, New York.
All right, Sharon, good to have you. All right, thanks for your response on that with what you were sharing there, what you were sharing. Sharon is sharing. Yeah. All right. Yeah, I really think that, you know, I've said that about you before, but it's like I keep seeing you sharing. You're supposed to share more. You have some really powerful stuff. I mean, you know, yeah, you're a Catholic and I'm not. You know, I'm a Pentecostal, you know, and you're whatever you are, and we're both, you know, beloved of God, right? But you know, you have some powerful things to share, and I may not agree with everything you say, but it doesn't matter. You know, that God wants you to break bread. He wants you to share things. You have a beautiful way. You're very articulate. You're very smart. You're very, you have some great things. I mean, I don't think you realize. You're supposed to break bread. God wants you to break bread, sharing things, Sharon, like your name is Sharon. I know that Sharon, I don't even know what Sharon means, you know. Like, but when I hear your name Sharon, I'm thinking you should be sharing, you know, sharing the word, sharing information, sharing things God gives you. And share them with people because, you know, I think the enemy gets you down. It's like he gets me down. But he is there to, he wants you to know that you have things to give. You have things to share. You have things to get out there and that are God things that he's showing you personally, not just from our religious beliefs or our Christian beliefs, but just things he's showing you personally, right, that are important, that feed people, that are going to help people get through stuff. You have that, and it's powerful, more powerful than you realize. So God's really trying to awaken you to that, amen, in a whole new area of your life so you feel the value of who you are and what you're made for. Amen. You have a lot to share, and so start sharing it. Share it, girl. All right, 205-690, I think.
Hey, Randy, this is
Danette. Oh, hi, Danette. Sorry I missed you the other night. All right, good to have you. All right, Danette came on the other, last night. I think I missed her. Thank you. I got you tonight. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Let your sorrow be turned to joy. Yeah, it's going to be like playing with a God toy. You know, like when little kids would play with toys, play with dolls, and play with whatever. And those dolls, they become our friends, you know, or whatever. I never was a girl, but, you know, I know girls really love their dolls, right? And they got some type of thing going. They were able to express themselves with it. They were able to, you know, that doll could be whatever they wanted that doll to be. They could put themselves into that doll and be, and that doll would become, you know, communicate whatever that child wanted them to communicate. It was a way of expression, a way of feeling, a way of, you know, communicating. And this is the way I see you doing with God. Like I see God, you know, like, you know, this is going to sound funny, but like a God toy. Like a God toy. What's a God toy? A God toy is something that God gives us that we can relate to, that we can, you know, use to express ourselves, you know, to say whatever we, you know, we need to get things out in the open about how we feel about this and don't feel about that and wish we felt more about that and just be able to, you know, when you can't really trust other people to share your feelings with, sometimes God can become that, you know, and it just sounds crazy. I've never said this in my life. Because God gives you a God toy or God, our way to, you know, something to connect with in that you can express everything you've got to feel and knowing that like a little girl with that doll, knowing that doll is not going to go, you bad girl, you know, unless she's imitating somebody who's telling her she's a bad girl. But that doll's going to basically say something, you know, help her understand things and give her some way to, you know, talk and communicate, talk to the doll. You know, I used to talk to turtles and, you know, bugs and whatever. Yeah, so I see God giving you a way. I don't even understand what I'm saying. Give you a way to express yourself and to communicate and to be able to open up to and just you know, yeah. So I don't understand. This is not making any sense to me at all, but I see it. It is powerful. That's why we buy children toys, because they can do whatever they do with it. It's not what somebody else would do with it. It's what they would do with it. And so when you give a kid a toy, and a lot of creativity comes out of a kid with a toy. You give them some pencil, you know, crayon, coloring book, whatever they like, whatever they got going on, and they get in there, and it's their creation. They start seeing how gifted they are or how gifted they're not, and they find out what they enjoy, what they don't enjoy. And so they go through this whole thing of having something that they can express, you know, themselves through and find their creative skills and work on things that nobody else will see, but maybe they want to see. They want to show it to mom. Mommy, look what I just colored. And mom goes, oh, that's really nice. And it's you. It's who you are. It's what you've done. It's not what other people do. It's what you do. And God opened up a way for you to express your creativity and to open up about who you are and the gifts you have and the things that are beautiful about you, that you can start seeing them and talk about them and kind of get, you know, when you start talking to, you know, used to when I find a friend I could talk to, I felt like I trusted, yeah, I would talk to them about things. And, you know, and then we'd go back and forth. If they didn't condemn me or ugly to me and were friendly and kind and understood me, then I would really feel like, you know, it brought me out into the open. I was able to share my heart with somebody. And I learned how to do that and how not to do it. And so I don't know what I'm saying exactly, but I see God really open that up for you, where you don't have to have, you know, not hidden things like bad things, but just but just hidden emotion, hidden feeling. Like, if I say that, they're not going to understand because I know it's really real for me, but nobody understands it. But in this sense, I see God, you know, being like a toy to you, that he understands everything, knows everything, has compassion on you, your best friend, and you know he's never going to let you down, you know, just like your dolly never lets you down. You know, yeah, you know, I don't know where that's coming from, but that's, yeah, there you go. So beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. And being able to put yourself in this and totally be about you and God, you and God, you and God, without anybody else to compare to, or what they think, or what they feel, it's all that. What you feel, what you opening up, getting things open up, the creativity in you, the beauty in you, and expressing that, and where you can be really, you know, open and free and share things. Totally openly, very in a very beautiful way. All right, 734-672, you want to talk to your friend, please? All right, 734.
Jennifer from Michigan.
Oh, hi, Jennifer. All right, Jennifer from Michigan. Good to have you. All right, Jen. Thank you, Jennifer. All right. Bless you, Jennifer. The blessings of God be upon you. The blessing of God. Like I see the Father blessing you, like a father with a child. Like you see this in the Bible where the Father blesses the child. I've given you this before. I don't know. Maybe not, but I see the Father blessing you. You are mine. I made you just the way I made you. And, you know, everything about you, your weaknesses, your strengths, who you are, what you are not, what you have and what you don't have. I made sure you didn't have everything because you had everything, you wouldn't need anybody. So I made sure you didn't have everything. You know, I deliberately and willfully took things that didn't give you certain things so you would need other people and need other and work with people and work with, you know, those who have what you need, and you have what they need, and nobody has. You have only, you're the only one that has what they need that they know, and God really opened you up to that whole realm of God blessing you, the Father blessing you, and making you know who you are, you know, making you know that that, you know, I didn't make any mistakes, and the way I'm doing with you, and the imperfection of sin, and being born of sin, and being, you know, having the sinful nature, all that. He said, when I recreated you and your spirit man was totally recreated, I created you in the likeness, and now that likeness that sits seated at the right hand, seated with the Father in heavenly places, with Jesus in heavenly places, is now going to recreate the image of your mind of who you are. That's what's going on. Your spirit man, who has been totally recreated in the image and likeness of Christ, is now trying to bring that creation and recreate and renew your mind, renew your thinking, renew your thoughts. And it's all the Father going. You know, that's the reason I birthed you. So now that the real creation, the way I've made you, well, I would have made you had I not had Adam and Eve not sinned. If you'd have been birthed from Eve before she sinned, this is what you would have been birthed like. Beautiful, glorious, gifted, talented, beauty, love, compassion, things of God. Yeah, all that. And so your spirit man is now that very thing. Like, if you'd have been birthed from Adam, if you'd have been their first child, and it had been Jennifer, and you came out of her womb from pure seed, from pure egg, from person, no sin, no nothing. This is what you. That's what your spirit man's like. So your spirit man is now, with the help of the Holy Spirit, is breathing on your mind, your emotions, and letting you know this is the real Jennifer, the real Jennifer in the soul. That's not the way I made you. That's not the way I created you. This is the way I would have created you had sin never been done. But sin came in, and yeah, all the things. Yeah, that's not you. Yeah, it's really not. That's why you say, this isn't me, that's not me, that's not me. But the real you is the way I created you in your spirit, man, when you got born again. And now I'm relating all that information to you. I'm going to show it to you. I'm going to open you up to it. It's going to renew your mind. It's going to show you who I really say you are, who I really think you are. And because that's the way I make it known to you, is by recreating you, birthing you in the kingdom of God. And now I'm making it known to you. And it's the Father's gift to you, Jennifer. It's the Father's gift to you. Amen, to open you up and show you who he would have made you, who you were made like in the beginning before sin ever came into the earth, what you're really like. Amen. Not with sin, not with having, you know, parents who were human beings and were sinners also, but what I would have made you like if you never had sin and there never had been sin in the earth. Yeah, in Jesus' name, that's what's going on. It's the Father. It's the gift of the Father. Hallelujah. Amen in Jesus' name. All right. Cool. open that up for her, God. 405-540, who am I talking to very quickly?
This is Autumn from Oklahoma.
Hi, Autumn. All right, Autumn from Oklahoma. 405-405, Autumn. All right, Autumn. Good to have you tonight. Jesus name. Amen. All right. Thank you, Lord, for Autumn, God. I thank you for bringing it into that unit. God's bringing you to a unit, UNIT, a unit of some kind of a compartmental thing, some kind of a unit. Let me look at the word unit. UNIT. Not sure what a unit is exactly. Unit, an individual thing or person regarded as single or complete, but which can also form an individual component of a large or more complex whole. Large areas of land made up of smaller units. Oh, okay. I'm not sure what that is. Anyway, that's the word that I heard when I first got you on. I have to say I didn't know what that was. I didn't have a clue what that was. A device that has a specified function, especially one forming part of a complex mechanism, the gearbox and transmission unit, right? A device that has a specified function, especially one forming part of a complex mechanism, like a transmission. Yeah, like there's many parts, but one unit. In other words, I guess all those different parts are in one unit. So there's something about that. And God, you know, showing you an individual thing or person regarded as single and complete, but which can also form an individual component of a larger or more complex whole, a large area of land made up of small units. So God says something with you that in that area. And he's opening you up to, you know, how there's many different parts of you, and each one needs to function perfectly and right and to make you a whole person. And God's going to start bringing all the different parts of you together to show that you are your purpose. You're one unit. You're one person. You're one. And all the gifts, all the things that are within you, that God's going to open you up and show you. Your purpose, your thing, all the different gifts, all the different things you have within you that are able to, you know, function and do a thing, and all the different things, all the different parts that make the thing work. And God's going to open you up to how to connect things, how this part of me and that part of me and that part of me work together to make something that makes sense, that goes somewhere, that's prosperous, that's doing something. And so, you know, when I get these words, they're like a puzzle to me many times. So you have to understand, I'm trying to put together the puzzle in words. So it's just the grace of God that we get anything out of this, right? So, yeah, so in Jesus' name, open that up for my brother in Jesus' name, and I ask you to give him that special understanding, Father, that every little thing you gave him, all the little things you've given him, add up to one big thing. There's not one part of you that's not important. Autumn, that will not make you a success. And God's going to show you how to work together and be together and move together and all those parts move together to make one. It's like the body has many different parts. You know, just try doing that with your little toe. Right? I've seen people, they lose a little toe. They don't walk the same. It's their big toe. That's all it is, their big toe. They don't walk the same. Lose a finger. They're never the same. They never grip things the same. They, you know, lose an eye. Everything is important. Every part of you, God's going to show you, Autumn, that every part of you is important, and it all goes to, you know, one beautiful big purpose, right? Yeah, and how important it is to God. Let's go here to 804-549. Who am I talking to very quickly? All right. Jesus. Tigus. Thank you, Tigus.
I teach your name on there, so I make sure we know who it is. 804-549 Titus. Thank you for Titus tonight, God. I thank you, Lord, for success. I thank you, Lord, for showing what success is. So some things you're going to feel like that you're not really a success because you don't have this. Sometimes we compare ourselves to other people and what they have and don't have. Sometimes they may be in success with what they have, and they may not be. You know, the things, just because we have a different call and different things going on, God's going to show you, Ty, just what success is for you. And where you're not comparing yourself to other families, other people with money. It's what the success is doing what God has called you to do and showing you how to do that. So that, you know, but every success always comes with money. Money always has, is one of the fruits of success. And God is opening up, you know, that. Because anything he has to do takes money. It doesn't matter. It's all about money. No, everything takes money. It takes money. You know, God says, I'm going to provide. Jesus Christ died on the cross for your provision. Provision is everything you need for every part of your life. Every little thing you need for your children, for your family, for you, for your emotions, for your mind. God cares about every little bit. That's why Jesus died on the cross. That's why Jesus gave it all on the cross. He gave every part of him on the cross so that we could have every part of us provided for. And God's really opening you up, girl, to the provision. Yeah, every part of that in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Open that up, dear God. Open that up. Open that up in the name of Jesus. Open that up, Father, right now by the power of God. Hallelujah. 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 Where was I at here? What was I doing? Yes, that was for Titus. Success, because God wants you to be successful. And part of the reason that he wants to show you this is because sometimes we don't think, well, we're not successful, we're not this, we're not that, because we might think success is something that it's not, you know. Whether it's with family situations, money situations, you know, jobs, feeling situations, whatever the thing is, that God's showing you what success is to you and for you so that you won't be condemned because you're not as successful as somebody who has maybe, you know, they're a genius or have an intellectual mind that's beyond belief, you know, like you compare yourself to them, like, I'm not a success because I'm not like that. No, you know. God chooses sometimes, you know, people who don't have that genius gift to be used like me, to be used by God so that he can supernaturally flow it through you. Paul the Apostle was a very, very, very smart person, but God said, I don't want your genius. I don't want your smartness. I want you to humble yourself. So, you know, success is different than different people's eyes, and God's going to really open you up for that. All right. 225. 225. All right, 225. Can we talk to the room, please? 454.
Hello, this is Karen calling from Louisiana.
Hi, Karen. How are you doing? All right, Karen. 225. All right, Karen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for the precious things of God. I see things becoming precious to you. Things that you used to think were like, you know, just becoming precious to you. Things that are disgusting. To some people are going to be precious. You're going to see the preciousness of them. You're going to see through the eyes of God, Karen. You have that thing in you that has to be able to, that's able to see the precious thing that belong to God, that God has, that God's doing the work in. That you'll see jewels where other people won't see jewels. Maybe the jewels of God be sitting right there in front of them and they won't be able to see it because it's covered up with all the clutter, covered up with all the mess. You're going to be able to see that, recognize that, pray for that, believe God, and love them for where they are, love them where they are, knowing that someday they're going to be a jewel, they're going to be a treasure. They're already a treasure to God, but it can't be seen yet. So God's going to open up your eyes to the unseen world in people, and you're going to be able to sense and know and feel there's something precious about them. Yeah, they may not be precious at all right now, but God's going to show you the precious part, so you can focus on that, and you know, help bring it out of them, and you know, just help them work through that and become the very thing that they think they're not. Some people are precious and they don't see it. And the reason it's all covered up because they don't see it. Sometimes we're called to help people see the precious part of it. So the precious things, the precious word of God, the precious Holy Spirit, precious God's people, precious heathen, God, Jesus was friends with sinners. Because he saw the precious gift in them. He knew that there was something good in them of God. And other people just saw them as dirty sinners, but he saw them as
Hey, these are precious people, people of God. Amen. Human beings that God has created. And open up her eyes, God, in a new level. And Jesus, let her see it at a deeper level, Father, in the name of Jesus. All right. All right. 720-819, you want to talk to her phone, please?
Hi, Randy. This is Jeff and Yuki.
Hi, Jeff and Yuki. Good to have you tonight. All right. Good to have you. All right. Jeff and Yuke. Thank you, Jesus. Earlier than I said, Jeff and Yuke, they don't spook. I feel like I'm supposed to remind you of that tonight. Jeff and you, they don't spook. Yeah. So, no spooky. Jeff and Yuki, it's Halloween time. You know, the spooks are going to be out. So, I'm saying, yeah, and I'm going to show you a whole other realm of authority of the spook realm, the spooky realm, the spooko, the hidden things, the things that we can't control, things we don't have control of. God's going to show you how we, even though we don't have control over things, and we don't, in fact, that's one of the things God wants to show you guys, is that you don't have control over things, until the Lord says, you know, I give you authority over that. You know, sometimes we think we have authority over anything we want, anytime we want, wherever we want, and we are deeply fooled by that, because sometimes, you know, it's like God wouldn't let them go into the land of Canaan until the cup of iniquity was full in the land of Canaan. Then once their cup of iniquity was full, the giants, then God said, okay, now go in and take the land. I've given it to you. Yeah, they have no power against you now. So we have to wait for the right timing. You know, when the right timing is, God says, okay, the cup of iniquity is full. Now go in. It's judgment time. It's time to take it. And you're going to be the one who brings it, is going to bring the understanding that the reality that your time is over, that's finished, and we're moving in. You know, because God has allowed it, because God has said, not because we came up with some good ideas and think it's time, or we're tired of this, we're tired of messing with that. You know, go listen to tonight's message. Tonight's message was about Jezebel. It was a totally total spontaneous word tonight. You get a chance, I don't know if you ever hear it or not, you get a chance to go back and listen to it. It was very, very cool, I thought. Very amazing. And it was for somebody tonight. I knew several people that are in a position to need to hear that message tonight when it came out of me. I'm going, I know a few people that are dealing with that stuff. And really powerful about Elijah and Jezebel and all the whole thing and how he felt, what he went through, the real battle he went through, how he felt, started kind of feeling sorry for himself and got down and got out, and how real all this stuff is. And God's saying, don't condemn Elijah. You know, when Jezebel hits you like that, it's a very real thing. It's a very difficult thing. And it shows the feelings and emotions that go along with an attack of Jezebel, and how not to be condemned, because, you know, if Elijah was a great, 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 great man of God, had that thing going on, how much more do we think we're not going to deal with that too, have those same feelings that Elijah did? He wanted God to kill him. He said, take me out of here. I've had it. I'm tired of this. I want out. And the Lord didn't, and Elijah didn't even know that he was entering into a whole new era. A whole new time of his life. He was preparing the way for the future, even with Elisha. He was about to meet Elisha, too. He didn't even know that. And Jezebel was trying to move in and stop it. So God, you know, you might go back and listen if you weren't able to listen tonight. I don't know where you're at, if you were there or not. But it's powerful, man. A God-given word tonight. A spontaneous, total spontaneous word. I'm glad I didn't have time to prepare because I'm not a mess with that. But just spontaneously, maybe I'll do better with that. But that's kind of what's going on. So Jesus, I thank you, Lord, for your bringing. And I know you guys sent me an email the other day, or text, talking about some stuff. And so maybe you've been answered for you, maybe. So listen to it, but thank you, Jesus, hallelujah, for showing us that feeling down and feeling like, you know, we're tired of this, we're ready to quit, you know, this the whole thing is very much the fruit that a great man of God felt. And if he felt it, and we feeling it. It's going to help us understand that, you know, God is with us, and that we're not just, you know, some messed up crew and the devil's getting out of control. And what are we going to do? We're all being messed up. No. If Elijah went through it, then he's saying, you know, we go through the same thing, knowing that we're still spiritual, we're still men of God, and yet we battle those battles and have those feelings and have that discouragement and that kind of thing going on, and how to break through it. God's going to show you how to break through it, because you're going to help other people break through it. You're going to help other people. And when they're being attacked by devils and demons, that's one of the reasons you guys are being trained. You're being trained to help others, to raise up others, to be mother and father to a generation of businessmen and ministers and musicians. the whole thing. All right. 251-229. Who am I talking to, Ray Frum, please? All right. He doesn't like Halloween. She protected her energy. Protected her energy? Is that what you wanted to say? Protected her energy. I'm not sure what that means exactly. He doesn't like Halloween. Yeah. I don't like Halloween either. Yeah, I would do the same thing. I'm with you on that one. Yeah, I don't like Halloween either. It's definitely the devil doing stuff, man. No doubt about it. All right, let's go here to our next caller. Let's see here. I think it's Jesus. All right. All right. I think my next caller is here. 251. Are you there? Hello? 251? I got you. Are you on? Hello? All right. I believe this is Sarah. All right, Sarah, good to have you tonight. All right, God bless you. Thank you for Sarah. Thank you both for heart to, you know, God's moving to a place where you're being served to serve. But we have to be served to serve. Like, you know, God tells me all the time, he says, I need you to rest up, be strong so you can serve. You know, and, you know, the Lord served, like the teaching tonight, where the Lord served Elijah. When Elijah was having a hard time, he served him. He brought him an angel, In other words, the spiritual warfare that he was going through, he said, hey, I got one of my spiritual buddies here with you. He's going to also be protecting you from the spiritual warfare you're in. But also because the angel came and cooked him a cake, right? And God was trying to say, hey, you go through spiritual warfare, I brought a spiritual being here to cook you something. You know, so he was connecting the natural realm of food, the spiritual realm and all of it, saying, you know, I've got it going on here. This is all going to happen. It's all going to be good. I'm with you. I'm working for you. Elijah had to be served in order to serve. You have to be served and strengthened and fed in order to go out and serve. And God's going to show you guys started walking both of them. Where you're going to be getting served and go out and serve. Getting served and serve. Getting served and serve. And that's why that's what Elijah needed. And God knew that's exactly what Elijah needed. What he needed some time to be cooked and taken care of. And God showed him that he was with him. Showing that God was with him. In the whole thing. So, there we go. All right. In Jesus' name, thank you, Lord, for opening that up for Sarah and get that cycle of blessing. The cycle of blessing is, you know, we serve in the natural, you know, we serve our children, and we need to be served. You know, but how about spiritually speaking, you know, receiving spiritual food and giving spiritual food. Receiving spiritual food, Sarah, and giving spiritual food. Amen. And to get into that realm where God begins to reward you for your spiritual labors. Amen. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. All right. Let's go here. Okay, let's go to 253-363. Who am I talking to you real quickly?
Hello.
Hello. What's your first name and what state are you from?
I'm Caitlin, and I'm from Washington.
Oh, Caitlin. Okay. Nice to have you, Caitlin. Thank you very much. All right. Caitlin from Washington. All right. It's a new caller. Thank you, Caitlin. Let's get it to your number here, 253. Caitlin. All right, Caitlin. I think they trained you well. All right. Caitlin. All right, awesome. Caitlin, that's happy. All right, thank you, Jesus. Caitlin, the thing that you suffer, you know, your personal inadequacies that you feel about yourself, or you feel inadequate, you feel unable, the things you feel unable to do, you have things you feel like you can really do well that nobody recognizes the things, and God's going to start recognizing, he's going to start bringing people that recognize the things that other people don't recognize, the giftings, the blessings, the things you have to offer, the things that make you unique. That things that you have that nobody else has. And God's going to start opening it up for you so you can drink that in and know that you have things to offer. You are important in the sense that, you know, people need you. There's things in you that people need. There's things that you need that you have that people need. If they don't get it, they're not going to be successful. In other words, you're going to be a part of their success and a part of the things that God wants to do. And so God's really going to show you that. And all the things you feel insecure about yourself, we all have. I have a lot of things I feel insecure about. But I have a lot less than I used to have because God, little by little, began to change me. And when he changed me, it changed my personality. People said, oh, your personality's even changed. We don't even know who you are anymore. But yeah, you know why? Because my insecurities changed. Right? Caitlin, I mean, we all have stuff. And God began to change my insecurities, my inadequacies, all the things I felt. You know, not that I have confidence in everything I do. I don't. I depend more on God than ever. And I feel weak and vulnerable, but I feel weak and vulnerable in a way that I know that I can feel weak and vulnerable, and I can admit I'm weak and vulnerable because I'm standing before God, who's Almighty God. Compared to him, we have little or nothing. And yet he says to you, you know, when you stand before me, you feel overwhelmed like greatness. But he said, I put greatness in you, and I'm going to show you how to open up, and I'm going to show you how to see it, to see the greatness that I've given you. Not that you've given yourself and other people, but the greatness, the good things that I have put within you. And I'm going to focus on those things so you can see your value, and that value is going to wash away a lot of your insecurities, a lot of your inadequacies that you feel. That's what happened with me. I had a lot of them. And God began to show me, the more I felt like I belong, I fit in, they needed me, you know, I had a place, I had things to offer, you know, it started showing me my value as a human being. And Caitlin, that changed everything about me. And a lot of sorrow, a lot of things. I used to sorrow for myself many years ago. And so the more I found value, the more I began to realize, man, you know, wow, I got something to offer somebody. I feel like I'm a human being, a godly human being, a God-called human being. And, wow, it was really amazing. It gave me joy, gave me great peace. I wasn't afraid to talk to people because I had something to say for the first time. I never had anything to say before. When God gave me something, man, I had something to say, and I was ready to say it. Let's get this on. I'm ready. You know, and give me a purpose and vision where I could go in and, you know, help other people if I had something to offer them. And that was very rare for me. It really was. All right, Caitlin, God bless you. Pray for your heart. Your sadness will be turned to joy, and your grieving will be turned into, you know, love and companionship. In Jesus' name, open that companionship realm for you that you'll feel like you're a companion and you have a companion. You're connected together in Jesus' name. All right, 919-995. Can we talk to you for a minute, please? Echo 919-995. Yeah, you said, send me something saying, Jeff loves Halloween. I said, he's a bad boy. All right. Thank you, Jesus. All right. 919, are you there? 995? All right. Okay. All right. I think this is Cheryl. All right, Cheryl, thank you, Jesus, for your life. Thank you, Lord, for the compassion God's given you, for the heart you have, you're willing to let be broken for other people, for you know, the ability to go to heaven for people and stand in people. On behalf of people for what God wants to do in their lives, and God giving you a purpose for the anointing in your life, for the call in your life, for the God things in your life, and opening up that part of your life where you know how to step in their behalf when they can't help themselves. You can help them in the spirit. You can help them by just, you know, feeling their pain, knowing that what you've been through, God's brought you through some things, that you know you can conquer all things, you can make it through things, you can the grace of God is with you. and that even though you're in of yourself, you're weak, you're vulnerable, you can't make it, you know that with God's help, you will make it, and it will happen in Jesus' name, and give people encouragement and build them up. And God opening up your ministry for you. Because when we start ministering to people with where we are, at the level that we're at, even though it may seem like low and like not much, you know, when God gives it to us, he does it to get us in the reward system, where we start being rewarded by him, rewarded by his love, his presence, his even finances, you know, opening favor, giving favor, because when God rewards you, he rewards you with what you need. He's not going to give you another car if you already have two and you don't need another one, right? He's going to reward you with, you know, something else, whatever you need. You know, yeah, if you got two cars already, you need a house, because we'll give you a house, not another car. See what I'm saying? And so God's going to show you that he rewards you with what you need. So trust him when you do what he wants, when you obey him, and you get into that reward system. We're not doing things for rewards, but that's just what God does. He rewards us and diligently seek him. And he wants to show you his reward system, that he really does good. He's very generous. And he gets us, he draws us in to serve him. God is rich. I mean, he wants to bless us. He blesses us with what we need. And we start getting what we need, we start getting satisfied, and we feel like, you know, somebody's in control of blessing me with what I need, not with what I think I need, but what I need. And what he does is much more than what I think. Much more than what I imagine. Amazing. That way you go somewhere, you're fulfilled, your life is meaning something. All right, 847-239, who am I talking to from?
Stephanie from Illinois.
Oh, hi, Stephanie. All right. Stephanie from Illinois. Stephanie. All right, Stephanie. Stephanie. All right. Illinois. All right, thank God for the heartbeat of God. I thank you, Lord, for Stephanie's the rhythm, the rhythms of her heartbeat, the rhythms of God's heart. To feel that, to know that, to know what God wants. Feeling the heart of God is different than feeling the heart of people. But when you have the heartbeat of God in you, when God, you know, connects you to his heart, he gives you a heart for what he has a heart for. And whatever his heart is moving toward, whether today it could be politics, tomorrow it could be a little baby dying in, you know, whatever. When God, whatever God feels about something, you know, he wants to show you that he's not going to show you everything about everything. He's going to show you, you know, what he wants you to pray about, what he wants you to be a part of, and that your heart, showing you the heartbeat of God isn't just showing you everything God's thinking about, because he's got a lot going on. And yeah, and so the heartbeat of God is simply showing you, you know, what he's interested in, whether it's for you, it could be something for you, warning you, showing you, you know, if he wants to bless somebody with $5, $5 may not seem like much, but when somebody's sitting there praying, God, if you love me, bring me $5, and you show up with $5, it's like, all of a sudden, that was the heartbeat of God. You see what I'm saying? So the heartbeat of God opens us up to, you know, this, to what he wants. And what he wants, he always wants to bless people. He always wants to take care of people. He always wants to do a miracle for somebody. And you know, like $5 is not a miracle. Yeah, it is when somebody's praying for a miracle and they said, I need $5. You bring $5. They have $1,000 available. But somebody walked up and handed them a $5 bill and they're like, oh my God, God loves me. You see what I'm saying? So it's the heartbeat of God. Is God showing you what he wants? And when you start doing what God wants, and you start feeling the heart of God, Stephanie, and knowing the heart of God, and God using his that to show you, you know, what he wants done, and when you start doing what God wants done, that there's a reward system again. The rewards of God are amazing. The rewards of God sometimes have to do with money and that kind of thing. It can do with favor. It can be with, you know, giving. One day you wake up and say, "What do you want? What do you want, Steph?" You go, what do I want? I want, you know, and he says, okay, you got it. It's on the way. Why? Because, you know, God is looking for people, Stephanie, that will understand his heart and be warm with his heart and show us what he's thinking. He may be thinking about you know, the trees. He may be thinking about the grass. He may be thinking about, you know, you never know what Devin's thinking about. He may say, he may have you praying for rain for a certain city or a certain town or something. It's like, what is that? It's the heartbeat of God. God's showing you what's important to him, what he needs to get done. Not just what we need to get done, but what he needs to get done. Amen? And God is really giving you a gift for that. If you'll let him show you how that works, I think you'll be amazed. All right, 253-363. Who am I talking to real quickly? 253-363, are you there? Okay. Oh, I already prayed over there. What am I doing? Sorry, 253. I already prayed over there. Thank you. We'll pray for you twice, right? All right, 240-482, can I talk to you real quickly?
Valerie from North Carolina.
Yes, Valerie. Thank you, Valerie. We made it. We made it. Wow. That, you hear that coming out of my mouth? We made it. We made it. Oh, 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 we made it. Yeah, it's like I hear you saying that. We made it. Valerie, I hear you saying, we made it. Hallelujah. We made it. We made it. It got done. It got finished. It got... We're in. We're did. We did. We got it. It's open. Yeah. Wow. It's in our hands. Done deal, Randy. Done deal. Yeah, I love it when I hear done deal. I had somebody this week send me a card in the mail and some things with it. It said, man, you know, it happened. We broke through. It was like, wow. I'm going like, really? I mean, I've read that nice little card and you know, with it, it's like really cool, like breakthrough time. You know, we did it, we made it, done, we finished, across the finish line, so to speak. Yeah, in Jesus' name, hallelujah, opening up the heavens and let the rain pour, let the rain, the rains of God, you know, the water of the earth that bring refreshing in Jesus' name, that cause the things that can't grow without God, all of a sudden they start growing because God says, you know, it's time. Like when they crossed over the Jordan, it wasn't that they couldn't build a bridge in 40 years to cross over, but, you know, they had to do it in God's way. And when they did it God's way, God opened it up, and we came God's timing, and all of a sudden, you know, the toe in the water, it opened up, and it was a done deal. So I thank you, Jesus, for the done deal. I thank you, Lord, for the timing of things. I thank you, Lord, for where it's done. I heard you saying that. Like, you know, yeah. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Send forth the fire, God. And also send forth the small, still voice of God Almighty, like you do with Elijah. You sent the fire, he went in the fire. You sent the earthquake, went in the earthquake. You sent the wind, it shook the rock and the mountains. It wasn't that. He was in the still, small voice. Amen. Breakthrough in the still, small voice of God. The voice of Jesus. Hallelujah. Open up, God, in Jesus' name. Let it be done. All right, 607-216. Can we talk to you real quick, please?
Anthony White.
Anthony?
Yes.
Anthony, what state are you from, Anthony?
Yes, I'm from New York.
New York, okay. Good day, Anthony. All right, Anthony from New York. Good to have you, my brother. All right, just always ask everybody what their first name is and what state they're from. All right, very good to have you. Thank you, Jesus, for the sophisticated thing. Sophisticated. Get the word sophisticated. I don't know what sophisticated means. Sophisticated. All right, sophisticated definition. I'm looking this up. I'm Googling this. Having, revealing, or proceeding from a great deal of worldly experience and knowledge of fashion and culture. Wow, that's pretty cool. That's just Google, right? Sophisticated. Meaning of sophisticated. Okay, and also another thing it says here, of a machine, system, or technique developed to a high degree complexity. You know, here's an example. Highly sophisticated computer system. Amen. So highly sophisticated. So that's really cool. That's really a cool word. Having, I'm going to read this first one again. Having, revealing, or proceeding from a great deal of worldly experience and knowledge of fashion and culture. In other words, you know, a sophisticated woman. So he, obviously he's not saying that so much as it is, I think, more of sophistication of, you know, of godly things, of how to deal with things, the sophisticated things. And dealing in that realm of sophistication where you have having, I mean, I'm going to read it in a spiritual way, having, revealing, or pursuing from a great deal of godly experience, you know, in the world and of knowledge of the things of God, the culture and the fashion of God. Yeah, and God's going to really open you up to that and plunge you into that system where you can, God can use you to deal with people of all kinds. You know, of all kinds. And so that you can minister to people, high level, low level, whatever level it is, and be able to open up to them the things of God in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. And bring it about, you know, a godly awareness of the beauty of God's work and all the different levels of it, from the lowest to the highest. Amen. To the sophistications of God or something. I don't know what that is. But open that up, God, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Bring about your will. Bring about your plan. Bring about your purpose in a sophisticated way. I don't know what that is, man. There you go. That's it. What I'm getting. Go here and, bring him into that arena, that place. Jesus' name. Hallelujah. And to deal with those kind of things, deal with those kind of situations, Father. In the name of Jesus, open up for Anthony, God. Pour out your spirit on him, God. Give him divine appointments and divine understanding, divine wisdom. In the name of Jesus. 6, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 10. All right, I did that already. All right. 864. All right, 864-313. You want to talk to your phone, please? 864, are you there?
Yeah. We'll talk to you.
Hi.
Hello?
Yes, who am I talking to? What state are you from? First name? Yeah, your state.
Walter from South Carolina.
Oh, hey, Walter. I didn't know that. Thank you. All right, Walter. My brother, good to have you. All right, Walter. All right, Walter, good to have you. Walter. South Carolina. All right, cool place. All right, Walter, in Jesus' name, amen, the peace of God, the peace of God, bringing peace to things where there is no peace, bringing peace, true peace, righteous peace. Some people bring false peace, and they don't really deal with things according to God, so it brings a false peace or a false healing or a false breakthrough. It's not really real, and God is really opening you up to bringing true peace, to speak true peace over things. When you deal with some situation, you go to the root of the problem. You go to the root of the issue. And what it does is it opens up this thing of where things are, you know, have true peace. The peace of God is powerful. The peace of God, when Jesus speaks peace, it calms the storm. It's the whole realm of peace, of bringing real peace. True peace brings real peace in situations. True peace brings a fix in the situation. It causes, gets God involved in it. It brings things to a storm, tearing up things, stop because of peace. Peace be still, you know. And so God opened that up for you and showing you the peace realm and how important the peace realm is. True peace, godly peace, the peace that Jesus spoke, the Prince of Peace. So work that whole realm of peace, God, to bring peace to Walter, bring peace so he can have peace, so he can speak peace into people's life, where the things are out of control, where the things they can't have anything to do with, they don't know what to do with them. They're speaking peace into their life, God, in Jesus' name, and delivering them into a place of peace where God is, true peace, the peace. The Prince of Peace, not just peace, but the Prince of Peace. In Jesus' name, hallelujah, amen. That anointing, amen. All right, 8951-966. Who am I talking to?
Hi, this is Regina.
Hi, Regina. Yeah, good to have you, Regina. Thank you. All right, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. I think God, Regina, I can't remember everything I mentioned earlier because I mentioned a lot of people, but I keep feeling like God's just trying to say this thing of prosperity to you, prosperity, speaking prosperity to you, where you're going to look back and people are going to go like, man, where'd you get all that? How'd you get all that? You know, it's not so much how'd you get all that stuff. and that money and that kind of, but it's like, how'd you get all that wisdom? Like, how come you got a new spirit about you? You got something, something's happened to you. You've been like, you kind of went through like a Job thing, came out on the other side and like, you're blessed with double for your trouble. Yeah, double for your trouble. That'll be a song, double for your trouble. And God bringing you through things and brought you through things, and you come out on the other side, and God only bless you, you know, family, or restoring family, restoring your, you know, like Job, his wealth, doubled his wealth. Doubled, and I just speak over you in the name of Jesus, girl, in the name of double for your trouble. In Jesus' name, double for the trouble. Because when you give something to God, and you truly give it to God, like Job gave everything to God, turned it over to him, the losses, the gain, everything, he gave it all to God. And God says, yeah, but if you did it my way, I'm going to double you. And people are going to look at you and go, my God, we thought you were going down. Look at you now. It's like it's just the opposite. You did nothing but go up. God just took you up. Took you up to the high places. Took you up to the high places. Sorry about that. That's what comes out of me, so I got to just give you what I get, right? Taking you up to the high places. Yeah, whatever. There you go. Yeah, taking you up to the high places, man. Can't beat that word. My God, that's amazing. Drink that in, would you? Cool. Up to the high places. Literally with a background sound with me doing it. It's horrible, but it's the best I got. All right, Regina. Bless you in Jesus' name. All right, 623-282. Can I talk to you real quick, please?
This is Carmen from Texas.
Oh, hey, Carmen. Yes. All right. Good to have you there. All right. Yes. Talk about high places. Yeah, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for the high places in God. May God, you are taking her to those places and showing her how to get to those high places, how to maintain those high places. Because high places are places that we can't even go unless God opens up the door. If we can't even go unless God opens the door. You know, so it's like that God opened up the door for those high places. And I see God open up high places for you. Like letting you communicate with people and have connection to people who are in high places. Giving you the wisdom and the knowledge of God for people, not just you're not trying to talk to anybody from a low place, whatever place you're at, but because you've been obedient with God's wisdom, the wisdom that he's giving you, he's opening up the wisdom of the high place wisdom. That's what Solomon had. Solomon had the high place wisdom. Notice he was in the high place. And even when the low place people came to him, like the prostitutes that came to him, you know, that's not exactly a high place. I don't think, you know, they show up, the baby thing. He has this high place wisdom where he finds the answer to something. They didn't have DNA tests. They didn't know who the baby was. And so the high place wisdom God gave him. So that's when I see God really open up the high place wisdom to give high place wisdom to people. You know, in other words, you'd be in a high place like Solomon was in the highest place in the land. He was the king of the land. And yet they were bringing trouble. You'd think the high place in the land guy wouldn't be doing all that stuff. But he loved it. He loved displaying the wisdom of God. And when things came in, he loved the challenge of what would I do in this situation? I don't know. Let's believe God. The high place was. So he gave him that high place wisdom where people came from all over the world, all over the land, to listen to his wisdom, the wisdom of God in him. And so he gave it out. It's really awesome. Yeah. And so the high place wisdom is also for the low place people, so to speak. But some people might call the low place people. They need that same wisdom. They need that high place, God-given wisdom from the mountaintop, from the high places. It's you the thing. Hallelujah. Amen. But high place wisdom is also for people in high places. We have like Pharaoh, and Pharaoh, he had what he called interpretation, high place wisdom, high place interpretation, high level, in the heights. Yeah, in the heights. All right, 863-808. You want to talk to me real quick, please? All right, 863-808. I think this is Cheryl from Florida, I believe. All right, Cheryl, I got you here. So, all right, Cheryl from Florida, thank you, Jesus, for that you know, every time the enemy thought he defeated you, every time, you know, you felt like Satan walking around going, yeah, I got you that time, didn't I? The Lord said, every time you've heard that, that has become an open door for me to be able to take care of the enemy, to crush the enemy, to deal with the enemy, and even set the people free who were, felt like they were, you know, like, we got it, we got it, this, and we got it. You know, I mean, we have people do it too, all of, in different, many different ways, in many different fashions. And all that that happened, because you've been saying, God, I'll do whatever you want. The spirit of restoration, like God is bringing the spirit of restoration to the times that the enemy, we're not talking about people. We're not wrestling against flesh and blood, but against principalities of power. Every time a principality of power said, oh, we got you now. I took care. I got you. Yeah, I got you. Got you. Got you. It's like the Lord saying, now watch this. As I restore you and restore things and restore, you know, the cake, what the cake worm and the farm worm is eating, you're going to hear it the other way around. God's going to say, I got it. I got it. I got it now. I got it now. I got it now. I got it now. I took care of that for you. I took care of that for you. I took care of that for you. Yeah, God's going to turn it around. It's called the turning around anointing, restoration anointing. In Jesus' name, build up, build up, build up. Hallelujah, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah, God vindicating you in the name of Jesus. Not vindicating the people thing, because we all go through that. As long as we're trying to vindicate people, you know, I've been sure of that. God, vindicate me with that prayer and vindicate those people. God says, when you get over that, Chandler, I'll do it. As long as you want me to vindicate the human realm, I can't do that for you, but I will. I will. It's like the martyrs in heaven. They said, they cried out. Said in heaven, they were crying out. They've been martyred in the heaven. It says they cried out. They were in heaven, in the heavenly body, and they were saying, God, when are you going to vindicate us? And he did. Amen. All right. All right, 480-637, who am I talking to real quickly?
Hey, Randy, it's Greg from Arizona.
Hey, Greg. Greg from Arizona. All right. Thank you, Greg. All right. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. All right, Greg. I just right away, like an anointing, you know, an anointing for all the crushing you've been through, for all the endurance that you've endured. It's like God says you've been enduring, you've been enduring, you've been enduring, enduring. It's like you and you on your foot, you know, your ankle, I mean, your heel got crushed and damaged from falling from that scaffolding. I never forgot about that, and I'm thinking about that tonight. It's like the Lord says, you know, what Satan meant for evil, God's going to turn for good. I'm going to crush the enemy with your heel. I've repaired your heel, or the heel is a part of you that crushes things, Christ crushed Satan's head. Remember, you saw the Passion of the Christ, right, where Christ, where he was at Gethsemane and right in the middle of the battle and Satan manifested as a serpent and he crushed his the serpent's head, that snake's head with his heel, crushed him and smashed him. Yeah, that's an anointing for you, bro. My God. Loosening upon you that river of anointing, that powerful anointing, that crushing anointing, the anointing to crush Satan, to crush, to destroy and devour the enemy. When the enemy tries to devour people, God says, I'm going to loose the devourer through you. Hallelujah. You're going to devour the enemy. In Jesus' name, instead of the enemy devouring you, you're going to devour the enemy through that, you know, just endurance and hanging in there, saying, God, you know, I'm not perfect, but I want your will, I want your perfection. Give it to me. Because you've asked him to give it to you. It's like Jacob when he wrestled, said, give it to me, God. I'm not going to let you go until you give it to me. God says, you're much like Jacob. You're wrestling in many ways, wrestling. They're saying, give it to me, God. It's not like you're not being greedy, you want so much stuff. You know, you just want God's will. You want God's blessing. And God says, you've been saying, give it to me. And when you're talking to me about it, you're saying, give it to me, then I'm giving it to you. And Jesus say, the blessing forevermore in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. All right, 202-722, who I talked to real quick.
Hey, Randy, it's Nicole, and I'm from Washington, D.C.
I know. Hey, I ministered to you earlier. I think I got your number earlier. I don't know if you got dropped off or not, but I ministered to you earlier. But
I had to step away. I'm sorry. I can play back the tape.
Oh, yeah, no, let's pray for you again. I feel like this is a divine appointment, so let's pray again. Yeah, and I saw your number, and I knew I almost just told you without taking your number that I already ministered to you. Yeah, sometimes people have to step away, and I know that that happens. But I think you are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Let's see, 1, 2, 3. You're number 9. I mentioned to you that you're the 9th person. And, ninth, you're my 9th person. So, I mean, so you, when you go back and listen, you're the 9th one. So, you're on again, and I knew that I'd already ministered to you, but, you know, usually I would have said, hey, Nicole, I see you, I hear you. I know you had to get away from the phone earlier, but I already ministered to you, so just go listen to the tape. But the Lord said, click on your number and take you again. So that's what I did. So, therefore, if anyone be in Christ, he's a new creation. The new creation has come. And I feel like that the new I want to say to you, the new creation has come, right? The new creation. That's probably a different version than you, but it said, behold, all things become new. The new creation has come. That's the word I want to tell you. The new creation has come, which I think is one of the translations of that scripture verse, that new creation has come. Notice he's saying it has arrived. The package has arrived. It has arrived in Jesus' name. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. The new creation, all things become new. Behold, the new creation has come. In other words, it is come. It has come. It is come. In Jesus' name, thank you, Lord, for what was, what is, and what is to come. We thank you, Jesus. There are still things more to come, but you this new creation, there's something about the new creation, there's something about something new that God is bringing, is brought forth the new, and it has come. And part of that is, the ability to interpret the times. I know you're going to be doing a teaching on Revelation. You're going to be getting to Revelations here. Doing a teaching here on PGN. We thank you for that already ahead of time on December the 23rd or 24th. I can't remember the exact time, but we're going to announce all that and get all that going and get all that happening. But it's like something to do with that. I don't know. The new has come, and I think as you unlock and unveil and begin to share, I think it's like you're going to find something new inside you. You know, something new has come. Something new. Wow, my God, what is this? That happens to me. You know, when I step into a new thing, like after the election thing, I stepped into a new thing. I stepped into a new thing. And as I'm going, I knew it was new. I'm going like, oh, whoa, dude. I stepped into something new. I stepped into a new territory, a new place. The new had come, and it came with that particular unlocking in that situation. And so you're going to see the same thing, that the unlocking of a new. You're going to say, man, the new has come. Man, Randy at least got that one right. I mean, I'm just kidding about that, but at least got he got that right, because the new has come. Oh, my God, the new has come. Because revelation and information and giving your time to share God's word and the rewards that come from that, so God already, this is already done to him. It's like what you're going to do in December is already done in his eyes. And he's saying it's already done. You're already going to reap the rewards of the new thing, because the new thing that's arising in your spirit is a spirit of revelation, the unfolding, the unlocking, the bread of heaven, bringing things. You may think you're going to come on the show, think you're going to say it one way, and maybe you say it another or add to it or something, and you're going to go, man, something new has come. Something new has happened, yeah. Because revelation from heaven, food from heaven, God showed me that revelation or information from heaven is the greatest gift you could ever have. When you start seeing that, you start realizing that, when I start really seeing that happen to me, I go, man, it's everything. Because God can show you anything. Information can show you exactly what's going to happen with everybody or anything he wants you to know about with information. Boom. So that has come. That has come. That has come. And because your yieldedness to God could be obedient to him, the new has come. Amen. Like I want to say to you, it's already done. It has come. It is done. It has come. All right, y'all. Get to minister to a lot of people tonight. Really, really cool. Minister to about 32, 33, 34 people tonight. In a small time there. So thank God for that. Hallelujah. All right. So we're going to call it a night tonight. That was awesome. Thank you. Everybody, for what you do for PGN, with the Lord, what God has you doing, what part you serve in it, whatever you do, your prayers, your giving, everything. We thank you for all of it. It's God's going to bless you for all of it, everything you do for him. He's going to reward you for the serving him. He's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. All right. We love you guys. All right, we're going to call tonight. That was my last caller. Thank you. It's been very, very awesome. And we will see you tomorrow night. God bless.